Show. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! So here we are, the fifth day of November 2012. It is 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Ha ha, see, they thought they'd get me with the time change thing, but no. I'm here right when we're supposed to be here. It's Monday. It's Moorhen Monday. Oh yes, Lord, yes, it's Moorhen Monday. Jeebus. And this is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Available in a wide variety of internet platforms for your listening pleasure, some of which are useful on your smartphone. Things like TuneIn Radio and Dar.fm and Stitcher Internet Radio. Yes, indeed. You can get the podcast. The podcast feed is at whiterosesociety.org under my segment, Bob Kincaid. Podcasts are also available at iTunes. The easiest way to listen to The Horn, of course, is at headonradionetwork.com, where we're just a couple of clicks away for folks who can listen with things like Windows Media Player. How are you? Get through the weekend okay? Hi. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is a little effort we've been at for a little over 7 years. We're in our eighth year now. Listener-supported, independent, conversation radio. Quite unlike anything you're likely to find in very many other places at all, if any. And in, you know, yeah, it's the 5th of November. That has some significance. Well, not so much here, but across the pond. I got to thinking, here's something we can work on if you want to contribute your portion. I got to, my mind works in strange ways. And I'm not saying it works at all well, for that matter. I got to thinking about Clement Moore earlier, before the show. 'Twas the night before the election, and all through the land, no one really knew how much more we could stand. The ads had been running back to back, day by day, and it seemed all too certain they'd never go away. And I with my mic and you with your phones were fighting a grim feeling we had deep in our bones. They'll steal it, they will, just you wait and see. As the GOP in Ohio and Florida waited, oh, so patiently. It was just on the fly. Maybe some of it doesn't scan. But feel free to contribute anything that may move you within the framework of the night before Christmas. Because it is. It's the night before the election. I talked with Rick Smith some, my colleague who follows here on this here radio network. I told him that I was thinking that maybe tomorrow night, after midnight, we'd kind of have a little old free-for-all. And if you want to do some post-midnight Eastern Standard Time conversation radio, I'll be up for it. I don't expect us to have any results by then anyway, but we can just sort of pick up wherever Rick leaves off and jump into the fray. If you're up for that, just let me know through the course of the program if you want to do some ongoing radio as of midnight Eastern Time Tuesday. And thank you very much for some contributions that have come in over the course of the weekend and as well today. We have almost drawn even with where we need to be for this time of the month. You will remember we were presented by our good buddy Tom with some new math properly done. And I can tell you that we are we should be at about $450 at this point in time. And we are very near that. So, I would say probably with about another $50, we'll be where we need to be by the end of the show tonight. Marty opining, warm weather on a college campus. Need I go further? Yeah, but, well, we can interpret that in a number of different ways. This is also, of course, Guy Fawkes Day in England. You know what that's about, the so-called gunpowder plot. I had an exchange with Marty earlier in the day about... always remember that time in November, or always remember the 5th of November, whatever that little ditty is. And it was ordered by James I of England, I do believe, that Guy Fawkes Day, the day that his plot to blow up the Parliament was foiled, was to be celebrated. And if I understand correctly, and I stand to be corrected if I'm getting any of this wrong, especially by people who have a working knowledge of having grown up with a little celebration, Guy Fawkes Day is celebrated by effigies of Guy Fawkes being made and paraded through town, and a little bonfire and maybe some fireworks after, to celebrate the foiling of a plot by a man who hoped to overthrow English liberties. But of course, in our culture, which is about as deep as a mud puddle on a flat parking lot, we think that it's just all about that really cool movie V for Vendetta. I don't know how it is we get to be so good at getting stuff backwards here in the U.S., but we do. And what I mean by that is, for instance, there's that line from Shakespeare. You'll see it on T-shirts. It may be the only line from Shakespeare that most people know they knew. First thing we do, let's kill all the lawyers. It'd be fun, kill all the lawyers, huh? When in fact those words are put in the mouth of a man who would see an end to English liberties. And the same too with Guy Fawkes. Guy Fawkes was a Roman Catholic who wanted to overturn religious liberties in England and get rid of King James and replace him with a king who would be loyal to Rome. By the way, he is known through history, he has come down to history to us as Guy Fawkes, but he actually signed his name Guido Fawkes. He had been born in England, but was converted to radical Roman Catholicism and actually left England and went to the continent to fight against the Dutch on the side of the Spanish Catholics in trying to keep their boot on the necks of the Dutch. Real freedom lover, that Guy Fawkes. Moran. Early 17th century, Moran. But over here in America, we say, guess what? Yeah, I wanted to blow up the government. Yay, let's blow up the government. Yee-haw! Dang. But we have our own fair share of idiots. I ran across something, and, you know, I hate getting in arguments on the interweb tubes. It's such a... Well, I mean, hey, you just won an argument on the Internet. Here's what you've won. An argument on the Internet. But I was just cruising along through my many Facebook friends whom I wouldn't know from Adam's house cat. And I ran across a guy who had posted something, and it was a repost of something from, I've seen it before. It goes as follows. Dear Red States, we're ticked off at your Neanderthal attitudes and politics, and we've decided we're leaving. We in New York intend to form our own country, and we're taking the other blue states with us. In case you aren't aware, that includes California, Hawaii, Oregon, Washington, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois, and the rest of the Northeast. We believe this split would be beneficial to the nation, especially to the people of the new country of the Enlightened States of America, ESA. To sum up briefly, you get Texas, Oklahoma, and all the slave states. We get stem cell research and the best beaches. This person who wrote this had apparently never been to the Gulf Coast of Florida or the Redneck Riviera of Alabama. We get Andrew Cuomo and Elizabeth Warren. You get Bobby Jindal and Todd Akin. We get the Statue of Liberty. You get Opryland. Opryland hasn't been a functioning amusement park in over a decade. This probably needs to be amended, too. You get Dollywood, Disney World, Epcot Center. Right. All the theme parks in Florida. Right. We get Intel and Microsoft. You get WorldCom. We get Harvard, Princeton, Penn, Haverford, Colgate, U of R, you get Ole Miss. We get 85% of America's venture capital and entrepreneurs. Yeah, that's the problem with the French language. It doesn't have a word for entrepreneur. You get Alabama. We get 2/3 of the tax revenue. You get to make the red states pay their fair share. Since our aggregate divorce rate is 22, it goes on and on and on. We get Hollywood and Yosemite, yada, yada, yada. And then it closes off. We're taking the good weed, too. You can have that crap they grow in Mexico, sincerely. Citizens of the enlightened blue states of America. And it's all just kind of funny. But it ain't funny. It's moronic. Secession talk. Whether it be occasioned on behalf of the first state ever to talk secession, namely New Hampshire, or whether it be secession talk by that perennial troublemaker, South Carolina, who early on occasioned Andrew Jackson to say that he was getting ready to get on his horse, get a rope, and ride toward South Carolina, and that when he arrived there, he would hang the first secessionist he found. And that after he had hanged that secessionist, he would ride till he found another secessionist and hang him too. And that he would hang secessionists until such time as there were no more secessionists left in South Carolina. Morans. And I remember when Rick Perry talked about, well, we may have need to talk about seceding and stuff. I didn't much care for that. Later on in this little ignorant Donnybrook that took place, I had two people say, well, maybe we should have just let the South secede. back in 1861. And that's just too damn much. People have, we really have no working understanding of what it means to be America anymore, do we? The idea of union. You know why we've stopped referring to the United States as the Union? Because Republicans can't stand the word union. Makes working people all feel all uppity and stuff, like they're entitled to something like, you know, freedom and a decent living, or a wage and pension, health care benefits and stuff. And that's all just icky if you're a Republican. Morons. Now, I don't want to run off into some long historical digression, but we do understand, do we not, why it was that Lincoln could not tolerate a bifurcated United States. Had the United States allowed the South to secede, how long would it have been before there was war anyway? Before the South decided that, oh, I don't know, they wanted Indiana or Ohio. There would have been little mini civil wars in places like Kentucky and oh, Missouri. Right? If you know anything about the history of the planning and future goals of the Confederacy, one of their plans after they'd done whoop the Bluebellies was that they was going to invade Cuba. And then they was going to colonize South America and Mexico. God almighty. But, and I'm not saying that this is a formal movement or anything, but when two separate people say it, oh, maybe we should have just let the South secede. You know that we've gotten pretty well detached from anything resembling our own history. Wow. No, Benedict, I do not have battered wife syndrome going on. What are you going to do with the thousands, in fact millions, of decent, upstanding, patriotic Americans who live in those states? You're going to have some sort of mass migration like the split between Pakistan and India? Yeah, that won't work out very well. Far better, I think, to continue working on that more perfect union. You'll notice in the preamble of the Constitution, it doesn't say, we the people of the United States, in order to form a perfect union, a more perfect union. That means it is work that has to go on always. And here in 2012, we have seen people actively working against or working to imperfect the union. I was talking about maybe being on air after midnight tomorrow, but it's hard to say what after midnight will mean. They're voting by email in New Jersey. Sandra alerted me to that over the weekend. And in a moment of snark, I said that I fully expect that the people of New Jersey will wind up electing a Nigerian widow who is trying to get her inheritance. I don't know how they're going to pull the election off in places that had the snot whipped out of it by Sandy. But Ohio didn't have the snot whipped out of it by Sandy, and I don't know how they're going to have an election either. There are literally thousands, and this isn't any birther garbage, as Chuck Todd called it. This is real. The fact that the for-profit media don't like to talk about it doesn't challenge its independent reality. I was talking with Boss Man Wayne earlier today, and he said, you know, that Secretary of State in Ohio needs to go to prison. He does. He probably won't. Literally thousands of voters in Ohio got a notification, and it was an improper and false, that they're not registered to vote due because of a database error in Ohio in the voter rolls there. And so the Secretary of State ginned up this plan whereby he directed, how's this work? Whereby folks have to be responsible for getting their own, making their own names on their own forms match the database forms, which may have typos in them, and they won't match. And it becomes a matter of the voter being bearing the burden of proof that they have the right to vote. I don't know. Lines have been around the block in the truncated, foreshortened, clamped down early voting process in Florida. People have waited for literally hours. In one instance, folks trying to early vote were brought into an air-conditioned room where they were screening the help, so that they could sit in air-conditioned comfort until it was time to come and vote, however it was they were voting. Probably sometime around 12 hours from now, I'm going to go vote. I like to go vote early in the morning. And I won't have any problems, because I am pink, 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 pink. And I probably won't, have to show any ID. Maybe get out my tattered old voter registration card. But no passports, no driver's licenses, none of that BS. I live in a very small, or near a very small town. And there won't be any phalanxes of right-wingers out there trying to make sure that I'm the right kind of voter. Among other things, because the GOP is quite content to know that this state, which has a huge majority Democratic registration, will not go and vote for, you know, that one. Because everybody here knows he's got a war on coal. Yeah, my only hope for West Virginia is that the ballot total for Barack Obama comes in higher than most folks had expected. Ron just wrote in, he said, after 3 days and 37 hours on shift at the steam plant, I'm sitting in the flow of the internet tubes with my decoder ring, awaiting to get the message from the Horn family. 2 days is what I'll have to make the best of it. P.S., what did I miss last week? Not damn much, Ron. We were on the air Monday and on the air Friday, and in between there was a blizzard. And even now, most of the snow, almost all the snow is gone. And we're back to being kind of on schedule for what this autumn ought to feel like. But if you drive out the country roads, you know, as in take me home, what you'll find are trees down all over the place. And in some cases, still being held up by either phone or power or cable or a combination of the three lines. Hanging out over the road, held up by cabling. Not inspiring. Not at all. Meanwhile, Ron sends along an article from Alternet. What if liberals and progressives could learn to talk to white Southern men? I have not read this, and I don't have time to, no offense, I'll read it after the program. But that question was probably best addressed by our old buddy, peace be upon him, Joe Bagent, who was forever ringing up the Chablis and Brie crowd of the so-called liberal intelligentsia for its hopeless inability to talk to the South. We ask questions like, why do they keep voting against their own interests? And man, when we ask questions like that, don't we just betray ourselves as a whole bunch of snobs? Because inside that assertion or that query, inside that query is the assumption that their interests are their wallets. But there are, as foreign as it seems to us in this little old bubble that we live in, and it's our own bubble, and it's a comfortable bubble, and it's a bubble we like. And frankly, it's a bubble that right-wingers aren't even allowed to enter. They are not allowed to participate in this program. They have 1,000 hours of right-wing hate for every hour of anything resembling liberal or progressive, you know, normal, sane broadcasting. So I've just made it a policy over the years, little creepy people aren't allowed on this program. But that doesn't change the fact that there are people out there who are so obsessed with voting to save the little fetuses that they would burn their wallets on the ground in front of them if they thought that the fetuses would be saved. The media are complicit in this. The false equivalence BS of the for-profit media, where if there is one position, there must surely be an exact and equal opposite position, like the fact that thousands of people stand to be disenfranchised in Ohio is counterbalanced by the possibility that some of those people might try to vote twice. Voter fraud. It's not true. but that doesn't mean that folks can't be motivated by it. Half of this country is apparently consumed by just gut-bending fear. You know, fear of those people or those other people or the debt being passed on, because people are clinging, no, not to their guns or their religion, but to their very existence. People are clinging, hanging on for dear life. If they're anything like me, beginning to sweat, oh hell, here comes Christmas, what am I going to do? Or sweating a new, four new tires that are going to run near $1,000. Or sweating needed medical procedures for an uninsured individual. There's enough to occupy us and keep us good and terrified wherever we are and whoever we are. And so it behooves us not to come off like a bunch of damn snobs and wonder why those people don't vote the way we want them to and the way that any intelligent person would. Now I'm as nervous as a wax cat in a candle factory. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. More to the point, I don't know what Wednesday will bring, or if we'll even know on Wednesday, or whether it'll have to be Thursday, or maybe 3 weeks from Friday. We're in the middle of witnessing a breakdown. Curiously enough, it is not a breakdown occasioned by that Kenyan Muslim with a deep-seated hatred of white people and a distinct anti-colonial bias. They're technological breakdowns, ideological breakdowns. Sure. Look, if everybody did vote their wallets, maybe the numbers would come out differently. But even among that segment, there are people who, because they sweat their family budget every month, cannot see that a family budget is not the same thing as a governmental budget, and governments don't treat money the way families do. My fondest hope is that after tomorrow or the next day or the day after that, we never have to see that constipated smirk of Bishop Willard Romney's ever again. That he will simply fade away. But you know what? Even if we get that wish, the odds are very good that the House of Representatives is going to stay in the hands of John Boehner. We needed something like 24, 25 seats. We might get 10. I am not optimistic that the Republican Party will come to its senses and, oh, well, okay, Barack Obama, won re-election. I guess we're going to have to work with him. Shit. When's the last time you ever caught the Repig-Lickin' Party in a conciliatory mood or doing anything but up-in-your-face bullying? Yeah, it's been a while for me, too. But Lord, it is. It's Moran Monday. And there's no end to the Moran filth that's been generated. Down in Florida, I can't remember her name offhand. I don't have the story immediately in front of me. Down in Florida, there is a woman, a teacher, who is running for a seat in the Florida legislature. She is running against an incumbent, Repiglican. One of those shadowy Citizens United-esque groups decided to help out the incumbent by sending out a flyer, I'm not kidding, comparing the Democratic candidate, really, to Jerry Sandusky. You know, the defensive coordinator, former defensive coordinator for the Penn State Nittany Lions, who had a habit of raping little boys in the shower. The flyer makes the assertion that she cares more about union teachers than she does our children. With a big picture of Jerry Sandusky, who was not a member of the teachers' union, who wasn't from Florida, who was male and not female. But they'll stop at nothing. And that really, I really do mean nothing. Oh, God. Witness this case in point from Arizona. Jeff Flake is running for Senate there. And he has, Jeff Flake has the unctuous smile of a used car salesman, all of whose stock has gas tanks full of sugar. Well, this is a report from Arizona. Check it out.
It was totally wrong. Totally wrong. And I feel like it was done purposely.
Only on 12, a lot of people are very sick of those political robocalls. But tonight, there's a new twist. One campaign's robocalls over the weekend are sending voters to the wrong polling place. And those voters say they're outraged.
They're registered. Democrats getting the wrong directions from Republican Jeff Flake's Senate campaign. Is it sabotage or is it sloppiness? Political Watchdog reporter Bram Resnick has the story.
Well, I just freaked out.
Lifelong Democrat Mary Krecko says she was floored by a robocall she got this weekend from a Republican.
It exactly told me that they were calling from Jeff Flake, U.S. Senate Republican Party.
I'm calling to remind you that your polling location is at Emmanuel Bible Church.
I was like, well, maybe I better write this down because I know I have it somewhere with my mail.
I also want to encourage you to vote Blake for U.S. Senate.
So I wrote it down, and then something hit me.
The robocaller told Mary Krecko to cast her ballot here at Emmanuel Bible Church. But Mary's actual polling place is here, 3 miles away, at Copper Canyon Elementary. Her polling place for the past 6 years was indeed on her sample ballot that came in the mail.
It was totally wrong. Totally wrong. And I feel like it was done purposely.
Mary Krecko wasn't the only Democrat who received the wrong directions from that Flake robocall. I spoke to more than a half dozen other Democratic voters who got it too.
I'm calling to remind you that your polling location is at the Mojave Middle School.
That school is 9 miles away from the Scottsdale voters' actual polling place.
I'm calling to remind you that your polling location is at La Senda School.
La Senda School is 11 miles away from that Mesa voters' polling place. Flake's opponent, Democrat Richard Carmona, says the calls undermine voters' faith in fair elections.
And allegations like this, where people are trying to disrupt the system, in this case, Congressman Flake's team, really are detrimental to the democratic process.
A Flake spokesman said the campaign made 120,000 robocalls to registered Republicans this weekend to get out the vote. Spokesman Andrew Wilder said, "We had less than 10 voters contact the office with questions. The only Democrats who would have received the call should be those that live in a Republican household." Mary Krecko and the other Democrats I spoke to said there were no Republicans in their homes.
It's like, I need everybody to know what's going on.
Oh, well, just wait a minute. Back up. I want to back up to Richard Carmona.
This, where people are trying to disrupt the system, in this case, Congressman Flake's team, really are detrimental to the democratic process.
God! Can anybody just speak plain English? These are detrimental to the democratic process. No, they're not detrimental. They're not detrimental at all. They are in direct opposition to that process. It's okay, Richard Carmona, you can say that. You can say that Jeff Flake is trying to dummy up the election, that he is, his team, we've all got a team now, are directly trying to sabotage, to introduce subterfuge into the process. You can say that. Hey, well, we wouldn't have, the only people we would have lied, and then, you know, the explanation from the Flake team, the only people we would have lied to would be people who had, you know, those Democrats who have to live in Republican homes. I mean, because they deserve to be lied to. What the hell's wrong with them? Nobody knows if this was done intentionally. Oh, my Aunt Matilda's aching back! If they make this unintentional mistake and it keeps a lot of Democrats from voting in the right place, from casting ballots that will then be challenged as illegitimate, guess what? It wasn't an accident. It's very clear that the effort to keep those people, in other words, Democrats, from voting is about the only hope they've got. Says Ron and Raleigh, Republicans lying? Bob, I'm shocked that a Republican would employ tricks and subterfuge to try and win an election. It was all a simple mistake, no harm done. But here's where it gets a little more complicated. Let's assume for a moment that it turns out that you could somehow prove this was intentional. Any of that proof would be had, oh, Jesus, what, 4 years down the road? Anybody remember the phony baloney scheme that was employed to keep Gene Shaheen from winning a Senate seat, what, back in 2004? That thing is still just wrapped up in the last couple of years. She's in the Senate now, Senator Shaheen is. But it took years to put the perpetrators in prison, and the people at the top of the food chain never went. Now, I don't know what Brad Friedman would say about something like this, but my contention is that the greatest problem with all of these things, whether it be uncountable video game ballots or voter suppression, we don't have any means of correcting the problem before the harm can be done. If you caught Jeff Flake red-headed, crimson-fisted doing this, could you then take the election away from him? Well, it'll be disenfranchising the good, upstanding, patriotic, God-fearing white teabaggers who done voted for him. If at some point in time you ever happen to sit through a class on equitable remedies, you'll learn these things called maxims. And one of them is equity will not permit a wrong without a remedy. We need to hang a parenthesis out there that says, unless it's in the case of elections in which, well, you know, in which case, yeah, whatever. I'm going to vote tomorrow. I like to vote on Election Day. I guess I'm just a traditionalist nerd. But I do. I like to vote on Election Day. There won't be any lines. There won't be any suppression. But that won't be the case in oh so much more of the country. And the contortions and machinations in places like Florida and Ohio are shocking to the conscience. Hope. Hope. And we know what that's worth. Hope that so many people become motivated by all of these stories of suppression that it becomes impossible to steal it. Marty sending in a note a few minutes ago saying, Obama reelected plus House Repiglick and majority equals impeachment. Well, for that, we have to wait and see how the Senate turns out. There is some hope that the Senate of the United States will trend even a little bit more Democratic. But unless the unless there is a Democratic majority maintained in the Senate, and unless Harry Reid decides to finally do something about the Republican obstructionism in which it requires 60 votes to decide to adjourn for effing lunch if a Democrat wants to adjourn for lunch... Well, you get the idea. Some nice emails to hit before we finish the filibobster. Had a kind contribution come in from Patrick in Germany over the weekend. I asked Patrick a little bit about... what life was like around where he lives. He said, I'm really glad and honored that you like Germany. I always thought that there's not much special about my homeland, but I guess we all have something to offer after all. Hope you can come back to Germany someday. He said, now finally, I have to talk a little bit about your home, the mighty USA. From age 10 to around 30, I wanted nothing more than to live in the USA. I visited 8 times and saw almost the whole country, and I loved it very much. I'm very concerned about the direction your country is going, though. And now, after all these years, I think it is probably a blessing that I never had the chance to immigrate to the U.S. The healthcare problem alone is terrifying. The fact that you, Bob Kincaid, need medical attention with your little Republican in your body... and do not get it unless you put $10,000 on the table, just breaks my heart. It is a cruel society you live in, and I feel sick to my stomach thinking about it. I never, ever even saw a medical bill in all my life. It's all covered, no matter if I want to see a specialist tomorrow or visit a psychotherapist next week, and that's the way it must be. I think it's really important for us to get these views from outside the U.S. looking in. Because I had a similar sentiment expressed just a little bit ago by our buddy from Australia, Philip, talking about the medical system there, where again, you seldom see a bill. And what we decided in the course of our conversation, and this was put forward in the way of a theory on my part. The United States is obsessed with what we like to call resources. And in the United States, when you say resources, there's some guy in cowboy boots or a silk suit or something who steps up and, well, yes, absolutely, natural gas is the way. No, it's coal. Wait a minute. No, it's oil. Civilization will collapse without oil. That ain't what resources means. But in the United States, we can only think about resources in terms of mineral resources that make giant corporations even wealthier than they already are. When in fact, the most precious resource of any country is its people. And when you focus the full power of government on propping up mineral resources, and you leave the people to go and hang fire, then you've got your priorities entirely and completely bass-ackwards. You really do. Kate, with a little note here, don't worry about making things right, Bob. There will be nothing done about Mr. Flake's team. He's from an old Mormon family in Arizona. They've been in control of the state for a century. No harm done. No one even notices anymore down there. They just want to keep them brown folks out. The center won't hold much longer, Bob. By the way, happy belated birthday, Jim. That from Kate. Robert in Australia. Subject line, registering as Democrat or Republican. For those of us in the rest of the world, could you quickly explain being registered as a Democrat or as a Republican thing? I'm on the voting rolls and no one knows which party or person I vote for except me, and I ain't telling. As for voting places, it's always the nearest public school or you absentee vote on the day if you're outside of your electorate. Signed, Robert, a.k.a. Phase 5 in the chat room. Oh dear, this may take a minute. The United States of America is and always has been consumed with an all-consuming urge to make sure that only the right people vote. Now, in the earliest days of this nation, the right people were white, land-owning males. Over the course of years, and as a result of considerable bloodshed and agony, that definition has expanded. Women. Persons of color. Non-landowners. I mean, can you imagine if you had to own land to vote? Who the hell could vote in New York City? What, Donald Trump and a couple of other guys? So the whole philosophy has always been to make sure that only the right people could vote. And it is only through a change in philosophy that the franchise has been expanded. And every time the franchise has expanded, it has expanded to the furious outcry of the people who didn't want their power diluted. Registered Democrat versus registered Republican, Robert and others, means that one participates, or this is what it used to mean, one participates in primaries. Primaries are processes whereby one selects the nominee for the given office in the general election in November. They are not elections per se. They are nominating processes. But somewhere along the way, they got mixed up with being elections. So it used to be that one registered as a Democrat or registered as a Republican has to be eligible to vote in the primaries, which are the nominating processes for the separate political parties. You don't have to have a primary. You can also have a nominating convention. They still do that. The minor parties, the third parties, they still do that. But that's where the idea of registration comes from. So, yeah, hopefully that'll clear things up a little bit. And so voter rolls are listed as according to party registration. And hence the dodge that the flake team used therein. We've come up against the end of this evening's filibobster. I just want to add one thing. I know that tomorrow night there's going to be a lot of parties. I am prepared with a bottle of champagne and a bottle of old panther piss, rot gut, screw top wine, whatever, and a straw. I'm prepared for either eventuality. There'll be victory parties or consolation parties. Even campaigns that don't plan to win still have to be ready with a balloon drop in case lightning should strike and they might actually prevail. A lot of parties. Some people will just be throwing parties at their house to watch the results and get merrily sideways in the process. But I'll tell you where I wish I could be tomorrow. Gonna be a lot of parties out there. But me, I'd like to be at the Alabama GOP election night victory party. It officially kicks off at 6 p.m. in Birmingham, Alabama. It's going to be held. I'm not kidding. I just had to figure out a way to work this story in. It's going to be held at Hoover Tactical Firearms. And it'll feature Miss Alabama 2012 Anna Laura Bryan. Yes, indeedy. And Amy Beth Shaver, Miss Alabama 1994. Entertainment will be provided by Act of Congress. Yes. There's a musical group, apparently. And here, just so you'll know that the Alabama GOP doesn't put on no shabby victory party, the shooting range will be available from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. I wished I was kidding, but I ain't. Oh, by the way, a response in from Robert in Australia regarding registered Democrat or Republican. Bob, that's just mad. What's the point of the secret ballot if everyone knows which way you vote? Oh, well, I'm off to physio. Catch you on the podcast. Thanks, Robert. Thank you, Robert. Well, you may be presumed to vote one way or another. But, for instance, if you're a registered Democrat and you go to a registered closed Democratic primary, there's all kinds of candidates. Nobody knows who you're voting for. And you can only, in America, you can only be presumed to vote one way or another. Remember, we had 8 years of Ronald Reagan in which Democrats crossed the line and voted like lunatics for him en masse. There has never been a presidential election in the United States of America where Republicans only voting Republican candidates could have ever held the presidency. It always requires Democrats to cross the line. That is why, back in the 1930s, before the tragic plane crash that took his life, that's why Will Rogers said, "I am not a member of an organized political party. I am a Democrat." See? Yeah. So, yeah, let's close out the filibobster and go to the top of the hour break. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice for conversation radio. This is The Horn. Hang on, folks. The ride could be bumpy. But at least we'll take it together, right? I'm Bob Kincaid. See the man with the military mind trying to make a
second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Hour 2, 4 minutes past the hour, Eastern Standard Time. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. And let's go right straight away to the Skype connection. Hey, Sandra?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I gotcha.
Oh, okay, because it was going in and out there for a minute, but it sounds okay now.
Yeah, it'll break up a little bit on the music and stuff.
Oh, right.
It's a little more than Skype can tolerate.
Well, I'm still tripping on, you know, just the seriously uneven response to those poor people on the outer boroughs in New York. I mean, that Rockaway place. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, just looking more at that situation, I'm even more gobsmacked that that plutocrat would think that he could just have people running around.
Oh,
it boggles the mind. It's like, I mean, what in the world possessed that man to think that, oh, yeah, this is a grand idea?
Well, you get the idea that there was some, I was looking at some stuff over the weekend, artists posted on my Facebook page. There are some real live, honest-to-God criticisms to be had of the Red Cross out of all of this. And on the other side of the coin is that looky there, guess who stepped up and started doing real basic little decent things? The Occupy people.
Oh yeah, no, and not only that, but I mean, it seems to be a complete delineation of if it's affluent, it's getting help. If not, Katrina. I mean, it's just sort of another exposure of, you know, the severe inequalities in this society.
I don't think you can get around that. Because, and part of that, you know, part of that may be a problem on top of a problem, Sandra, because we've ignored the infrastructure in poor communities for so long that when a real disaster strikes, it makes it twice as hard to get help to them.
No, it's true. No, that's definitely the case. But the idea that city government, which I hear a lot of people in his administration flipped out on him when he wouldn't postpone that. And he still was being petulant. But the idea that you had 80-year-old plus people trapped literally in buildings, and you know what I mean? I just, it really does speak to what this country is kind of all about.
Yeah, I got the idea that there had to be something approaching a palace coup just to get the New York City Marathon called off.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. I mean, it was that kind of thing, and it's, yeah, I'm really glad to hear that Occupy is stepping into the breach, but it begs the question, you know, where are these institutions?
And I don't think anybody knows, except for like I said, there were real criticisms being levied at the Red Cross, and the Red Cross's only answer was to say, well, let's not talk about that. Let's move forward. No. You know, on the other hand, you've got, did you see Giuliani's remarks?
No, what did he say?
Oh, you so didn't. You're going to be so glad you didn't. He said the response is worse than Katrina and that President Obama needed to resign right now. He's nuts.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I don't, you know, yeah, okay. And then meanwhile, you know, they still have, yeah, I don't even know what to say about him. He's the one that built a command center in the Twin Towers. He should just shut up, just based on that.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't, I'm still, so my eyes are still burning from the hug fest between Big Fat Christie and Obama. I still can't get past that image.
Well,
trivial.
Yeah, Christie tried to walk some of that back today. He said, well, I'm still voting for Romney. Because, you know, topmost in his mind is the fact that he's got to run for re-election next year. And if he looks all heroic, then if the Democratic legislature does anything but bow and scrape in front of him, they're going to be the bad guys. I mean, the man's a former U.S. attorney, probably corrupt as the day is long. He ain't done. He's not still, though. He knows how to.
No, but I mean, the whole love fest for him is a bit disgusting if it's coming from, you know.
Oh yeah, I was done with that the first time I saw it. You know, some of you know, maybe. I mean, I've seen people saying he should switch parties.
I know. I mean, but they seem to forget that he's more than happy to tell the first responders to go pound sand when it's contract time.
Oh sure.
I mean, I you know, and so I can't listen to him. He's just politicking. I mean, whatever. He has to face his constituency, so that's what that's about.
And he does so next year, I think, if I understand correctly. Hey, I'm getting a couple of requests in from folks. Is there any way you can get a little closer to your mic, Sandra?
Let's see.
Yeah, well, it sounded like you just did.
Well, yeah, not really, but is that any better?
Yeah, as long as you kind of stay in one place. Because... Whoa. I don't know what that was.
How about now? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can back you off some. Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's hard to tell in your own, because I have this headphone set, but, you know, it's still radio shit. What can I tell you?
I know. And that's, you know, that's one of those technological proliferation things where the bugs aren't entirely worked out, but it's working nice enough. The folks on our putative side of the aisle who fell madly in love with Chris Christie, I just looked at that and went, what, huh? Because, I mean, do we not even understand politics at this point, Sandra?
I think it's sort of, you know, it's becoming a generational issue that people seem to don't have any clue about it. It's just on both sides, which is just bizarre.
Well, I think it's clear the guy will probably be reelected, and then, you know, 2016, maybe he would want to run for the Republican nomination.
Well, if he, you know, I know this is horrible to say, but if all of a sudden he drops a hundy, you know he's running, for real.
Oh, I don't think, because he doesn't want to be, he doesn't want to be compared to Taft. You know, they had to bring an entirely bigger bathtub into the White House for William Howard Taft.
All right, but, oh, God, I didn't realize that. That's hilarious. Speaking of Taft, and we can just pivot to Ohio. Oh my God! You know what? I've never seen. I thought that freak that was there before, the Secretary of State, was bad. This guy is wow.
This guy's just a walking unindicted co-conspirator at this point in time.
Yeah, it's incredible, and it's incredible the sort of corrupt judges that are saying, oh, yeah, we'll leave it to the sort of uninformed voter to fill out this form. I mean, come on.
Right, and they've got to get everything perfect in conjunction with a form that they can't see that might already contain errors.
No, but there must be a challenge to that, I'm sure, at this point, an emergency challenge?
Not that I'm seeing, no.
Mm. Well, I don't, you know... I do have my concerns about, you know, how this election is going to play out, but because I don't, you know, I don't think that waiting hours upon hours is a sign of anything but a horrible democracy gone wrong.
Well, I think what this bears out, Sandra, is that there are deep pockets in a number of portions of this country where you don't want anything even remotely resembling democracy. A democracy says that if you are a citizen who is otherwise entitled to the franchise, go vote.
Well, no, the idea that the voting is situated similar to the schooling that where you live, you have to vote. And unfortunately, if you don't have a big enough tax base, then where you vote is just shit.
Yeah.
Just like where you go to school.
Well, and for that matter, in that Arizona report where it said, you know, it said she was supposed to go and vote at Emmanuel Bible Church. Am I the last person in America that thinks that we ought not be voting in churches? Do we not have enough public spaces? I mean, vote at the bank, for God's sakes. But churches? Oh, no. That just gives me the creeps up and down my spine.
Well, I mean, I think people should, you know, really seriously start questioning, you know, the whole system, especially the Electoral College. I mean, the fact that all the millions of other people, it's not competitive at all. I'm so sick of that setup.
Well, it's the single most undemocratic process that remains enshrined in our government. It's about the only electoral process that has remained in our government from the framing of the Constitution to this date. And that should tell us a little for that
because it keeps the elite even more in charge. And with the Citizen United, it's so much easier to isolate where you pour all your billions to, which is interesting.
Right, because, I mean, in these last couple of weeks of the campaign, we've seen it at work. We've seen where the candidates have lived. They've lived in Wisconsin. They've lived in Iowa. They've lived in Ohio. They've lived in Virginia, in Florida, in Colorado. I mean, you're in California, for God's sakes. Have y'all even seen Romney or Obama?
No, and the idea that the most populous state, 40 million, has no serious say in a national election is really completely it's just illiberal and undemocratic, and it's an outrage. It's an outrage that the system is so accommodating to the moneyed interests at every level, every day, all day.
And it must be kind of weird to be in California and be ignored by both candidates, on the one hand taken for granted, and on the other given up for lost, you know, before anything even got started.
But 40 million people, though.
Right,
Bob.
Right. It's
300, and that's a lot. I don't know. Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah, that's nearly one-seventh of the population. And you get treated like, I mean, shoot, the candidates are going to New Hampshire.
And the election will be decided before the polls close out here. Isn't that how it usually works?
Yeah, but I got a feeling it's not going to be the case this time through.
Well, I don't know. Well, I mean, yeah, I've seen all sorts of, you know, everyone's seemed to be convinced that, you know, there's going to be some issue. Is that what we're calling it, an issue, a problem?
Nightmare, disaster. I mean, you sent me the story about the voting by email in New Jersey. And like you said, yeah, what could possibly go wrong with that?
No, I think that was Isaac who did that.
Oh, was that Isaac? But okay.
Yeah. But yeah, exactly though. But that's ever so helpful. But you know, Andrew Cuomo did sign an emergency executive order saying that New Yorkers can vote in any precinct.
Oh, and you know what? If New York had been in play, the Republicans would have turned purple at the proposition.
Well, no, but I think that, you know, that it should be something to build on, and it should be like that across the country. You see what I'm saying? I mean, at least within a state, you should be able to vote anywhere.
Yeah, well, see, even the precinct concept goes back to a sort of pre-electric America, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it definitely does.
So we're building all of this on a foundation and a framework of stuff that is no longer relevant.
Right. As with everything else, though, we're happy to turn it inside out, you know, with the financial system and the media. Everything else can be subjected to the, quote, great technology, but the voting system has to remain in sort of not even 19th century, but a 18th century proposition.
Right. Because in the 18th century, it made sense that you would vote near where you lived, because most people never went more than 5 miles from where they were born. That's not the case anymore. And these people who want to say, well, just show your damn driver's license and you can vote. Well, okay, you know what? I'll compromise with people on the photo ID business. Everybody get a free photo ID and vote anywhere in the state you want to. No questions asked. But instead, they overlay this photo ID on top of precinct requirements, and then they play monkey business with what precinct you're supposed to be voting in, so that they can then challenge the ballot on that stupid technicality.
Well, the thing is, it just all comes down to, I mean, especially now when it's just sort of blatantly obvious, is that if you're going to maintain the kind of inequality that we have, you really cannot have people legitimately exercise one man, one vote. Because as it gets more unequal, if you have that option, well, something drastic is going to happen, because more and more of us are completely separated from, you know, the economics in this country. And if you can vote, well, you're going to do that. So in order to maintain this inequality, they got to do exactly what they're doing.
And I think that provides all the answers that we need, doesn't it? I mean, there's not a voting, because there aren't any, you know, they passed the Orwellianly named Help America Vote Act.
No, that's help some money. That's help these corporations get some more money in their coffer.
Right.
Act.
Right, and it didn't help anybody to vote. On the other hand, everything we pass regarding voting is a limitation as opposed to an expansion.
Right.
I mean, when it comes to the end of the day, I mean, even if you take into account undocumented people who are here. Now, what undocumented worker in the United States is going to go marching up to a polling place and try to cast a ballot? Realistically. Because they'll have the Iceman on them before they can say south of the border, right? So there's no real worry about non-Americans voting.
No, it's a worry about Americans voting, because we need to keep so many of them away from that particular exercise.
Look at what Rick Scott did over the weekend in Florida. One. The bomb squad was called out to one early voting polling place, and two suspicious items were detonated inside their bomb truck. We don't know to this day what was on them, or in them. And so then Florida turned around and shut down early voting. They just shut it down for Sunday, when traditionally, thus far, in the short history of early voting, African-American church congregations have made a point of saying, well, now that we've finished the service, we're all going to go vote. But that just got shut down. Now, how the hell is that not disenfranchisement?
Oh, I know, and especially from, you know, a complete criminal, that Scott person. I mean, you know, so, I mean, I shudder at what's going to be going on tomorrow. Instead of looking forward to, we get to vote, blah, blah, it's just some sort of exercise of dread, you know, like, oh, my God, you know, what hell are they putting working people through just to vote?
Right, nobody's going to give me any crap for trying to go and vote. Like I said, I live in a small town, and it's all high howdy, you know, and we know how the election is largely going to come out. But I don't know. Let's put it this way, Sandra. How long do you think it will take before tomorrow, before noon, for Radio Rwanda to run their first new Black Panther Party story?
Oh, no.
I got it before 10.
Well, I'm still tripping on these software patches that they are, updating these machines with. You know, all of a sudden they have to hurry up and do this when apparently they had the contract since the middle of September.
Right.
It's just sort of, no one knows what these patches are, and they're like going to the, you know, where they tabulate the main votes. And, oh, it's interesting, they seem to all just be in the major urban areas in Ohio. Isn't that interesting?
Right, because out there where Emery and Eileen vote, apparently those machines are running quite well, thanks.
And so you can't help but think, well, what's, you know, you jump to the conclusion that, oh, this must be some backdoor way of them to alter things if they need to. You know, the sort of, oh, we'll have the results tomorrow, Wednesday morning, and then we find out that, oh, President-elect Romney, you know what I mean?
That's given me a case of the horrors that just won't seem to go away, Sandra, and what makes it worse is that the for-profit media have telegraphed that they have no interest whatsoever on reporting on it.
They've eliminated, most of them are eliminating exit polls, which is a real big alarm for me. I'm like, well, why would they do that?
Well, only because the exit polls are actually they should be a pretty good indicator of, you know, statistics and math being what they are. They should be a good indicator of what the results can be expected to be.
Well, much like most Americans don't know anything about Obama's abuses of civil liberties, most Americans seem to think that our voting system has some integrity, I guess. They don't really give much thought to it.
Right, because most people that watch the for-profit media and that the for-profit media in turn pays attention to are going to be like me. They're not, you know, they're white folks. They are not going to have any problem voting. Everything's going to be made as easy as can be, in, out, done, back to work. And then if anything, you know, I saw a statistic that said on when Obama was elected the first time, racism was running at around 48%. And as of today, it's at 51.
Well, and also keep in mind that, you know, I keep thinking all the crack-cracks who didn't vote for him last time, they thought, oh, no way, it's a Negro getting in. You think them people ain't voting this time?
Yeah, the only hope is that they're in jurisdictions where it really won't matter.
Because Romney would win anyway.
Right. I mean, I've been seeing, because I watched some Facebook pages from down in Alabama, I've been seeing a lot of go out and go vote for Gary Johnson, and every time I see one, I say, yeah, go vote for Gary Johnson, because that's not a vote taken away from Barack Obama in a place like Alabama, Stan.
Well, I mean, I sort of, so we're looking at a possible popular vote for Romney and the Electoral College for Obama. Is that one of the horror scenarios they're talking about?
That is one of them. Of course, the other one, I mean, and like I said, even though she offered it up as sort of joking, when it makes its way into the cerebral world of Rachel Maddow, for her to envision a race being thrown into the House, that's the other nightmare horror scenario.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm also disturbed by when I do hear any mention of issues with voting, they try to do this left side, right side, like the right's worried about voter fraud and the left's worried about the machines. I thought my head was going to explode. I'm like, no. It's been proven by the Justice Department with their five cases over the last 20 years of voter fraud that that's a joke. But the machine stuff, I ain't heard nobody reassure me that privatizing a commons such as voting is okay. There is no equivalency to it.
No, there's not. And John Fox just pointed out something that I think, going back to our Electoral College discussion, Sandra, I think is valid. He says that the Electoral College was put in place to keep ballot boxes on horseback from being stolen. That it actually once upon a one had a utilitarian purpose as well as an anti-democratic purpose.
Okay, so we're still back in the 18th century then.
Right.
Yeah, well, you know, at any rate, I just think that, you know, that is the problem with the inflexibility of the American Constitution. You know, all the praise that's heaped on it is always dubious, especially since most of the world is now turning to, wait for it, the Canadian Constitution.
Right. Because I just feel like my mind has turned into macaroni or something just thinking about tomorrow, Sandra. It really has.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it definitely sort of sounds. I mean, you know, everyone in our household, you know, because there's some state workers in the household, you know, just reeling, because there's some stuff in California that will destroy the rest of the education system and get a whole bunch of people laid off if it don't pass.
Well, what's 32 looking like?
Well, that's the thing, you know, it's looking problematic, but see, that I think can be, there'll be instant court challenges to that, I think. No, my worry is 30, which is 6 billion of cuts will become instantaneous if we don't get any more revenue in this state. And since Brown decided it'd be a great idea to put it before the voters, everyone's bracing themselves to know, you know, who knows what's going to happen. I mean, it's looking like that could pass. People are kind of like, finally in California, they've cut services so badly here that people are like, what the hell? We may need to actually vote some higher taxes on the rich. But here's the kicker. There's a Prop 38, which is the same kind of thing, but that's funded by a rich person. And guess what? The person earning $10,000 would also be taxed. So you earn as low as $10,000 a year, your taxes are going to go up for Prop 38.
Amazing.
Prop 30 is for the rich. But if one passes and one fails, that's the one that's going to go in place. So if 30 fails, 38 may go become the revenue stream.
Jesus.
Does that make any sense to you? I'm sorry if I'm talking to you.
No,
fast,
I understand what you're describing. In the larger sort of philosophical sense, no, it doesn't make any sense to me. But,
well, yeah, but I mean, you know, that 38 is more like Alabama stand.
Well, it is. I was about to say the very same thing. You know, the tax threshold in Alabama is
4,000.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah. So, how about 37?
Well, 37 is, you know, it started to trend down, but it was trending down from a 71 in favor, but that $45 million of Monsanto's money, you know, has really put it at risk for failing, Bob, if you can believe that.
God, well, I'd like to see it pass, just because A, I'd like to see right wing heads explode when we start talking about states' rights in terms of things like GMOs.
Well,
but
we'll
I'm also interested to see what happens in terms of how it plays out before the Supreme Court.
Yeah, no, we'll see what happens with that. I mean, it's still looking more like it may pass, although I have to check the field poll, which is a pretty good poll. But the other one, 34, which is actually trending to pass, would get rid of the death penalty in California.
Wow.
But, no, there's a but. They want to replace it with you know, life without parole, you know, which is, yeah, okay, I don't know. You know, it's sort of like what liberals always do. They always trade off completely. You know, they'll accept something because life without parole is pretty damn debased to me. I'm like, well, there's no rehabilitation talked about. There's nothing.
Well, for Christ's sakes, Anders Breivik is going to get out in what, 27 years or something in Norway?
Yeah, and the worst thing is that we don't even execute that many people in this state. You see what I'm saying? So I mean, I want it to pass. Don't get me wrong, but, you know, liberals never reach for anything higher anymore. We just take any old damn victory. and, you know, it's not examined, it's just whatever. But I suppose I shouldn't complain. I mean, it is a start.
Well, it is, and it'll be enough to set the corporate freaks on fire. 37 will, because I've seen some of the advertising, and at this point they're, and why should we be surprised? They're just down to the point of just plain lying, Sanders.
Well, no, they're lying and trying to muddy it. But
your food bill's going to go up $400 million a year. Yeah, no, it won't.
Yeah, I mean, but they seem to forget that the people they're saying the food bill's going to go up for, as if they can get any food. I mean, this one area I lived in, we didn't have a grocery store in that area for 30 years before they put one in. So give me a break with that gibberish talk now. Where were you 30 years ago or 10 years ago or any time?
Yeah, it's crazy. But by the same token, when they say that the food bill is going to go up, that's just BS, because the fact of the matter is, if other places are any indication, once you label food as containing GMOs, nobody will buy it.
Well, no.
So then the free market takes care of it, doesn't it, Sandra? I mean.
Oh yeah.
I mean, isn't it?
And they'll have to begin across the country. I mean, these huge multinationals aren't going to just label food for the California market. They can't. Their supply chains and the way they transport isn't designed for anything but economy of scale, you know what I mean?
Right. It's the same thing as textbooks. California and Texas drive where the textbooks go. And to the extent that California is a huge producer of food, as well as consumer of food, then 37 would argue, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is that that decision in California is going to impact the rest of the country by default.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. The other thing that's interesting in California is you got some sort of, I mean, just 400,000 new people, because we could register online, and they've gotten 400,000 new voters registered, you know, which, of course, the Republicans are reeling, because you know the kind of people who did.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see, because more people, unlike in Ohio, more people can vote in California, not less.
And that's the way it ought to be, isn't it?
Well, you know, I mean,
want to expand the franchise.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know in my international relations day, we used to joke and say, oh, no, not more democracy.
Yeah.
We're talking about people in California. But no, I'm all happy for it.
anything but that.
Well, just because, you know, just because, I mean, of course, I'm talking out my ass, but sometimes when I speak to people, I'm like, OMG, do you know any damn thing?
too much.
Yeah, and 30, and there's another one, I can't remember the exact number, damn it, but the three strikes thing, the last I looked, was also trending to be overturned, because, you know, they've been running this ad where you got this poor grandmother who's in there for life for having $10 worth of cocaine after having two burglary charges in her past from the 80s. So, you know, it's horrific.
That's no civilized society would do anything like that.
Right, so that's a good chance that may go away. So, you know, there's a fair bit of hope here. So just for your interest, you should keep an eye on what's going on in California, because, yeah.
Oh, I do, and I have been. I find it fascinating. I find it fascinating from the novelty of having referendum and recall on the ballot out there. You know, more democracy. Because we damn sure don't have anything like that here.
Yeah, well.
No, whatever we get married up to every 4 years, we stay married to for 4 years. And I guess my third-party vote is not going to put anyone at hazard tomorrow. I mean, I'm voting for Obama, but there's no way I can vote for Joe Manchin or Earl Ray Tomlin. You know, because they're both in favor. You know, they can't blow up communities fast enough. They can't see people poisoned fast enough. So how the hell do I vote for either one of them? But I guess Joe's been up by like 29 points over madcap, crazy-ass John Racy, and, I mean, he is crazy. And then I think Tomlin's got a healthy lead over Bill Maloney.
Yeah,
I'm gonna feel okay about my two Mountain Party votes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have to vote for Obama out here, and I'm not gonna vote against Dianne Feinstein, but I don't have to vote.
Right, and I've got another race that I will simply be leaving blank.
That's what I mean about, you know, DiFi, because I already told you about her, like, you know, suspect behavior when Dan White and all that business happened in San Francisco. So I always fish-tied her.
Yeah, and you're not the only one. Apparently, the California contingent of the Horn family is not on the Feinstein Christmas card list.
I don't know. She's horrific, but she's been that way ever since she was on the phone calling for calm when the mayor got killed here in our lovely town of San Francisco way back in the 70s. So, yeah, she's been around, shit, and has been suspect for years. But at any rate, what is the deal with your show? Are you just going to be...
Well, I figure we'll be live like this from 6 to 9, and then Rick Smith will do his from 9 to midnight. And I was talking to Rick earlier today, and I'm gonna get some invites out just to and maybe we'll go on the air with an election night special at midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific.
Yeah, okay, because I don't even think I'll be checking. You know, I can't even look at the TV coverage. It's so horrific, but I don't know. You know, the whole idea of, the Romney thing, I just can't, you know, the Obama's bad enough, but the Romney, oh, God, you know, it's just so horrific. And I'm scared of the cracks if it's a popular versus electoral college with Obama playing the role of Bush. Can you imagine?
Oh, Jesus. That's too much to bear. There was something, and I thought I was going to share it with you because it was just such a beautiful little piece of writing about wanting to be done with Willard Romney. And I thought this might have some resonance. A guy named Rob Lee wrote this on Facebook. He said, "I'm really, really sick of having to look at Bishop Lord Mittens with his shoe polish hair and funeral home smile. Sick of his mincing prissy walk. Sick of his Mr. Business butthole personality. Sick of his bottomless capacity for lies. So, and this is the line. This is the takeaway. So crooked that if he stood next to a corkscrew, he would cast no shadow. He embodies the complete moral and intellectual bankruptcy that the monetization of all human life has brought. He is the dark undertaker for our country, prettying up the corpse for burial, mouthing empty comforts while squeezing the bereaved for every last penny." Isn't that perfect?
That's great. I mean, especially in light of, you know, I don't know if you had a chance to listen, but that Mormon stuff, which is not getting touched at all.
Oh, I did. I listened to that earlier, and the thing is, some of it I knew, I knew a little bit about, I mean, Mormonism is not a religion. It is a, you know, because the right wing's fond of saying, Islam's not a religion, it's a political philosophy. Well, if that's the case, then Mormonism is not a religion. It's a corporate tax dodge.
Well, yeah, that's the thing that I just find so interesting is, oh, okay, so, you know, the higher ups in that, which is Romney is one of them, was able to use the money for play money. I mean, it's no wonder that this fool is as rich as he is. He is so dodgy.
I mean, what she was talking about, having Bain Capital and Mormon Church corporate SEC filings happening on the same day?
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus, I mean, and Romney personally renting the tax exemption of the Mormon Church for one of those unitrusts?
Right. I mean, all of it is just, And it's really disturbing. I mean, it's disturbing isolated, but the idea that this man has been sanctioned to run in one of the only two parties in this country for president should really give us pause, you know?
Oh, it should stop us in our tracks, shouldn't it?
Because it's, like I said, it's just, it's gangster, and no one's going to tell me if that fool doesn't, if he gets power, what? You know, is Russia going to become the number one enemy because their doctrine says the czars all rule and, you know what I mean, that whole business, and so now we're going to turn our military might back to Russia to fulfill some prophecy?
Oh, God. And remember, the Mount of Olives is going to be split open, and then Jesus will rule for 1,000 years from Jerusalem and Missouri.
Well, remember when he said, he mentioned Russia, he kind of mentioned Russia quite a few times, and then I looked up that, you know, they have this belief that, you know, the czars are some sort of, you know, antichrist-type characters.
Yeah, that. Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, OMG. So, yeah, I don't mean, I know I'm sounding flippant, but on a serious tip, this is what we're working with if this fool gets power.
And you know, that story, I got a Dr. John sent a story along over the weekend from CNN asking about the sort of minutia of what a Romney presidency, a Romney White House would be like, asking questions. And I thought it was a delightful question to have asked in light of what was asked about President Obama. Would he take the oath of office on the Book of Mormon? Would alcohol be served at state dinners? Because there's a lot of bizarre crap that they do that is integral to their daily life.
Ew.
I mean, even at the exalted level where he is, they have home, inside Mormonism, there are home teachers. And if you're a Mormon, you might be assigned to be a home teacher for ABCDE, but somebody is also to be assigned to be your home teacher, so there would be the possibility of someone coming to the White House to instruct Bishop Willard on what he needed to be doing as a good Mormon. Let that one percolate through for a little bit. Oh, and by the way, I got an update from Andy here. He says the last poll from Pepperdine University I saw had yes 39.1% and no 50.5% on Prop 37.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I knew it was, 180 degrees on that. Wow.
Yeah, that's, well, because we all enjoy our genetically modified potatoes with the goat guts in the genes.
Yeah, no, I can't wait to get that apple spliced with some sort of pig gene.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, apple and pork, I mean, they've always gone together, haven't they?
No, I mean, well, we'll see. I mean, that's, wow, yikes on that. Something I wanted to, and also, how could I forget? Washington lost, so that means it's President Romney, right?
Yeah, except for the fact that Washington lost back in 2004, too. And,
that's right.
And that was supposed to mean President Kerry.
Right.
Right, yeah.
But then there was Ohio.
Oh, Jesus. And there's Ohio now. No, it just gives me the creeps.
I didn't even get a chance. You know, it's so bad. I didn't get a chance to watch no football at all. So
I caught a little bit of the Steelers and the Giants, and there's an open question as to whether that should have been played. At least whether it should have been played, you know, in Jersey. And I caught some of the Falcons and the Cowboys last night, and I don't mean to offend the Texas contingent of the Horn family, but there hasn't been a Cowboys loss that I found to be a good one, or a bad one. I can watch Tony Romo lose and lose and lose and just grin and grin and grin.
Well, it's no offense. offense to him. It's just that organization and that horrible facelift, you know.
The odious Jerry Jones. You know, maybe if he would, you know, heed the call to glory, Dallas might have a chance to come back.
He's probably getting another facelift now. It's like, dude, stop. It's like Bruce Jenner. Give him a call.
Oh, and by the way, how long did you laugh at the Chris Rock video, Sandra?
Shut up. Especially when he showed his family. I was like, stop.
Vote for the white guy. Vote for Barack Obama.
It was bad. That was really bad. But funny. It was great.
For the first 20 years of his life, he called himself Barry. That's the third whitest name in the world, right behind Jeff and Cody.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, that was pretty funny. That was a good one. Oh, man.
Mitt Romney's got more family members than a Tyler Perry movie.
Right.
I fell out of my chair.
It was huge. A huge amount of people. Yeah, there was some other choice bits. I'm going to have to look at that one again because that was well funny. But anyway, listen, I'll let you go.
All right, Sandra, you have a wonderful evening. We'll be here tomorrow night. You know, just strap in and hang on.
Oh, no, I will. Okay, take care.
See you now. Bye. Sandra calling from California. God, I hate it that... I do. I really, really do. I hate it that Prop 37 has gone that sideways. Sheesh. Marty asking, would there be coffee or any other caffeinated beverage in the White House? First of all, the Mormon Church's business arm has bought a significant holding in Pepsi and Coca-Cola, so it is now legal for Mormons to drink those, and they've modified the doctrine to the original hot drinks language. No tea, no coffee, no hot drinks. But yeah, they would serve it, and when he was governor of Massachusetts, they served served wine at dinner, and they served beer at dinner, and they served coffee, and they served hot tea, and yada, yada, yada. It's just that, you know, Bishop Willard didn't drink none of that. Man, maybe if he would, he'd get that Undertaker grin off his face. A couple of things rolling in by email. Philip writes in, he says, I dread this election. However, my 18-year-old who is voting for the first time has informed me that most of her Republican classmates at college are disinterested in the election and do not intend to vote. My daughter obtained an absentee ballot to ensure that she could vote from college. In addition, my 21-year-old has informed me that many of her friends and coworkers who didn't vote 2 years ago now intend to vote for Obama because they realize they have so much to lose under Sorry, Bob, this is a serious email, but I cannot complete that phrase. I understand, Philip. My daughters are hopeful about tomorrow. I am not. I hope the optimism of youth prevails. And tomorrow will be my Margie's first experience with voting, so we are going, her mother, me, and she, grammar, sorry, who knows, are going to go merrily marching off to the polls so she can have that first-time voting experience, and hopefully she will be a voter forevermore. So, yeah, that's just a little catch-up. Fritz writing about my mention of the new Black Panther Party. Again, I've got 10 a.m. You want to get in on the pool, you can have anything, but you can't have 10 a.m. The 10 a.m. news cycle is where we get our first mention of the new Black Panther Party on Fox tomorrow. Fritz says, surprised the wrestling industry hasn't glommed onto that hustle. Of course, I don't watch wrestling, so I would have to find out from somebody else. You know what? If it happened, I've got a guy I could ask. God, here it is, 8 minutes before 8 p.m. on the East Coast, and I'm still getting blast emails from Mitt Romney. Bob, I need your vote! Those, you know, for a minute I almost felt sorry for those people in Pennsylvania who showed up for a Raw Money rally last night and then were not allowed to leave. You saw that story, right? You got a woman walking up with her kid in her arms saying, I got to get out of here because Willard was late and people were standing there freezing. And she said, I got to get out of here. And the Romney campaign staffer said, you can't leave. And then when the reporter who heard it said, yeah, but she said her kid's getting frostbite. The Raw Money campaign staffer said, it's not cold enough for that. Marty wants to know, he says, okay, it's time to ask the Horns International listeners. When you go and vote, where do you vote during your elections? Because Ron and Raleigh had also pointed out, he said, yeah, I vote at the Emmanuel Baptist Church, and there's a public school three blocks down the road from me. I'd rather be voting at the school. Again, the 17th century. Sure, you would vote at the church because maybe that was the only public building. A church was generally the first thing that a community built. But this is the 21st century. And we have no need of voting inside churches ever, 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 ever again. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Brother Bob.
Brother Albert.
Yeah, funeral director grin indeed.
I thought that was just poetry.
Yeah, that was wonderful. That was, well, yeah, I would tell you, it was. California is like a political junkie's Amsterdam or something. They got so many ballot this and ballot that, and yeah, 37 yes, no. It's all confusing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't pay attention to it like I should. I know I got other things on my mind, but, you know, sometimes you're like, yes on this, no on that. You know, I don't know. I hope they turn it around and...
But theoretically, it means that people have to actually pay attention to the ballots and the issues and the things that affect their lives. But when you pump tens of millions of dollars into a campaign just to keep from having to label food as saying, this can of food contains genetically modified organisms that contain the genes from a goat's gut in your potatoes. Wow.
Yeah, it's not the final nail in that coffin.
Well, no, but the thing is that, again, history does show us, Albert, that what that means, it wouldn't mean that food would cost any more for a family out there. It would mean that Monsanto would no longer make money selling genetically modified organisms.
Yep. Well, the real money they make is the chemicals. You know, it's like... Yeah, you know, they care about their organisms like AOL cared about those CDs they used to ship out. You know what I mean? You know, that's really what it is. It's, you know, that's, yeah, the seeds, they sell them, but, you know, it's seeds, you know, there's only so
much. Yeah, but the seeds are what make it necessary to buy the chemicals.
Exactly. You know,
hence the Roundup Ready corn.
Exactly.
That no human being can eat.
Yeah, and, well, it kills cows, too. You know, and, yeah, it's rubbish. It's no good, and, you know, I don't know. You know, I mean, the Electoral College, yeah, okay, but we got to get some things for it. I don't want to just get rid of the Electoral College. You know, we need to make voting mandatory. We need to get it off of a Tuesday.
Yeah, how about, I got to thinking about that, Albert. How about second Saturday in October?
How about a week? In July.
Well, see, this is the beginning of the discussion. I think October, because it's not too hot, not too cold, all you need is a light jacket, you know.
Yeah, true. Well, now, but then again, you know, with these weather patterns changing for some divine reason, something about homosexuals, it's probably...
Right. Yeah, I saw that great quote from Bill Maher the other day. Scientists say the hurricane happened as a result of climate change. F them, I want to know what the Bible says. They're scientists. Or F them, they're scientists. I want to know what the Bible says.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's the beauty. You know, they'll always tell you, the earth was warmer back in the dinosaur days. And then you just got to look at them and say, how do you know this?
And Elsa Babaneth did step out upon the... Yeah.
Yeah.
And he did say, yea, verily, it is getting right hot around here.
Yeah, the scientists is what, you know, it's, you know, they think it's a buffet where they can pick and choose what they want, and, you know, it's not really how it is, and, you know, I mean, look at New York, that's a mess, you know, and I got, you know, everybody.
And that has got to hurt your soul, just watching it unfold.
Well, this is what it is it's not built with that in mind. You know, it's like, you know, the United States Navy will tell you the ocean levels are rising. And it's, you know, it's not something you can see. It's not a uniform thing because the ocean is a bumpy place and it's higher in some areas than it is in other areas. You know, but New York is, I mean, this should be a real ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling wake-up call. It's not built. When the subways fill to the brim, that it's not built for that. It's not built with that even in mind. And this should show you it's never happened before. It's going to happen again. And, you know, it's the financial heart of this country, the whole Northeast, that whole area. You know, this is it's almost a world capital. And it's not built with that in mind. It's not built for this stuff. You know, I mean, and it's kind of scary because it brings up that wall out of Escape from New York that they're going to have to build around this. If anyone recalls that, Brink.
Snake.
Playing the game. Yeah, Snake, you know.
Yeah, Texas Betsy just told me, she said, the house I grew up in is now inhabitable, too close to a creek right off the Hackensack River, which flooded for more than 24 hours.
Nobody's got sump pumps. They don't even have that.
No. Well, I mean, it's like, I don't know if it's exactly the same thing, but if you live down south, the reason the south gets crippled by, a 1-inch snowfall, Albert, is because they don't have salt trucks, and they don't have snow plows, and they don't have all that infrastructure that you would have, because frankly, it's not economically smart. Just everybody stay home for a day. It'll be gone before noon. But every now and then a freak storm blows through and all the freaks fall on the ground. I don't know, maybe it's not the same thing. Maybe we have gotten away with stuff for a while but it's not even getting away with stuff. It is that this is a national will.
Yes.
Issue.
Yep. Well, it's what they do with infrastructure in this country is a garbage bag on a busted out back window in your car.
Yes.
It's not a fix. You know, painting the roofs white is not going to save anything. You know, like, we need serious stuff, like serious brains putting serious thought and effort and technology into practice. This is something we've got to address, not now, right now. Because, it's the end of gas. It's the end of oil. It's the end of this. Everybody's got to understand that as well. We're at the end of the party for this resource that's done so much, and we're going to see more. That's the thing that's kind of really sucks about it, is we're going to see so much more of this.
Yeah, but the ignorance of the United States is such, because we've already experienced it, the year that Katrina struck, well, the next year, was it the next year or the year after, wasn't such a big deal. I don't mean Katrina wasn't, I mean the storm season wasn't. So unless there is another storm that either gins up in the Atlantic right away, or if there's not one next year, then because of the likes of Radio Rwanda Fox, we will get story. Well, that was just a freak storm. I mean, these things have happened time and again over the course of history, and you know, we've only been keeping records for a couple of hundred years, so that's not at all surprising. Bill, back to you.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
I mean, my God, I've seen pictures and stuff. How do you rebuild Rockaway? What happens on Staten Island? And I'm not asking that rhetorically. I honestly don't know.
Yeah. It's going to take, because nobody would have been on it, but it would break my heart to imagine it happened. The Verrazano Narrows needed to collapse. That 2.5-mile-long bridge that goes from Staten Island to Brooklyn, that should have collapsed. And then there would be, all right, nobody would have gotten hurt because they closed them. So I don't think I'm talking about it. If something like that, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take, it's going to take the Brooklyn Bridge, which has been there for 100.
Yeah, but Jesus Christ, we had an interstate bridge in Minneapolis collapse a month before the Republican convention in 2008? Yeah. And still, nothing.
Well, yeah. But it's still Minneapolis. It woke me up. It made me say, hey, it made Minneapolis. Minneapolis isn't in danger of going Romney. You know, I mean, they don't want no right to work nonsense. You know, they're getting rid of Michelle Bachmann.
Do you really think?
She's gone. Yeah, she's done.
God, I hope you're right. That'll be a bright spot.
Yeah, it's going to be a bright spot. Remember, Bob, we're headed into the storm. I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Don't think these negative things. You're going to bring them to us. It's like the Republicans, the way they think. You know, they want to turn everything into, you know, oh, it's evil and God. And you see how desperate that is? Don't be the polar opposite of that. Step on up. Move up. Get away from that. Don't let fear run you. We're going to get this. He ain't going to win anything. Romney ain't winning this. Mm-mm. No way.
Are you suggesting, Albert, and I'm not being mean, are you suggesting we should maybe think about getting the House back tomorrow?
Why not? I don't even understand that. That makes no sense to me when I read that article. I was like, what, are you kidding me? This is a House with a 7% approval rating? You going to put these idiots back? I mean, well, what's his name's gone? I don't know how Flat Top down in Florida's doing, but Michelle Bachmann... She's gone. Aiken ain't going to win, but he's at the Senate. What's the other one? Paul Ryan might even lose.
How about Steve King?
Steve King? No, I think we're stuck with him for a little bit. I don't know if he's... I don't even know if he's running. I was thinking about the other one. What's the other one? The dumbass. Joe Wilson. What's his name?
Joe Walsh.
Joe Walsh, yeah. That thing. Yeah, that guy. The deadbeat father.
The deadbeat dad.
Yeah, all right, what kind of, how dare you even show your face? What's wrong with you? How can you even, and to me I happen to be of that generation where that was something of a common occurrence, you know, and so that really just bugs me. That bugs the shit out of me that a scumbag like that would not only, like, I just had the audacity. Just think of that. It's so representative of these people. Just like Mitt Romney and, you know, making these people wait. You know, my kid's cold. He's, you know, snot running down his nose. He's cold. He's shivering. His little cheeks are blue. I'm getting out of here. No, you're not. Who the hell are you telling me I'm not? You got an ID? What do you want from me? I'll give you $5 million. You give me what I want. Get the hell out of here, you extortionist scumbag. They think they're going to win, but you know, people tune this shit out. You know, I mean, how many times can you watch a commercial about, the catheters? You know, the first few times it shocked me, and after that, I don't even hear it anymore. You know, and that's one of the more unpleasant things I can even imagine, is a catheter. You know, so of course I'm going to tune out. I don't even remember a Mitt Romney ad. Just, you know what I mean? Nuclear weapons. It's just bullshit.
Russia.
Yeah, Russia is our danger most. Putin. You know, and Putin is a scumbag. I ain't trying to defend him.
No.
You know, he's probably one of the richest guys on the earth. How did he do that? You know, I mean, come on.
No, they teach you stuff at KGB school.
I mean, no doubt. Yeah. Bain Capital subsidiary. Yeah, we taught him everything he knows. You know, because you try to tell me Bain didn't go to Russia in the 90s? Really? There were dudes getting... I remember this. This is what got me interested in finance in terms of getting a job in that industry, which I had. Well, sales, but, you know, same difference. They were getting 1,200% returns in those first couple years. You trying to tell me Bain wasn't there? Why not? It'd be on the way back from China when you're buying a friggin' sweatshop. You know, it's like you look at the hats, right? The hats union made for Obama and Biden. Of course. Of course. Of course.
You know, I got to thinking about something, Albert. Work with me here for a second.
Right.
I was just pondering this earlier today when I was listening to that interview that Sandra was talking about with the ex-Mormon who is, you know, I guess she's involved in suing the Mormon church, and she's gone so deep into it she's actually gotten a view into the abyss. Because it's web after web, it's shells inside of shells. It's it's Danny DeVito looking at
Stalkovich Malkovich.
Yeah, it is. And I got to thinking, the workers at AMPAD who got ditched. You reckon there was even, you know. Would Willard Romney have done that to a company that had even one Mormon working in it? I'd love to know, and this would be some real hard journalistic digging, and I don't even know if good journalism could root it out. Were there any Mormons who were thrown out of their jobs because, you know, what about Sensata? What about AMPAD? What about any of these companies that have been thriving until they were murdered, taken out back, and had their throats slit by Bain Capital, and then had it all shipped off to China? Was there even one Mormon in any of that? I mean,
no. Brother Bob, you think Benny Hinn gives a shit that some lady gave her last $1,200 for him to exercise her with his magic jacket? You think he cares? You think he loses sleep? When people give their last or their social security, whatever they got left, the social security they give to him to give one of these
sweaty prayer hanky
salesman, yeah, a friggin' magic handkerchief or a magic vial of water. I mean, come on, that's what Mitt Romney is. He just bypasses all that and he just really gets him. He's even worse. He's a real cannibal. You know, he's not messing around with piddly piddlies. He don't care about 50 cents or $100 or anything like that. This guy's making $100 million, $100 billion. This guy makes so much money, we don't even know how much money. He's spaceship money. It's a spaceship. The dude, what else can you have that much money for? I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, Elon Musk, right? Right? What did he do? Right? Besides building the Tesla, right? Which is a beautiful thing. They're making more of them. They're doing all that, and that's a beautiful silver lining. The stock price is nice. You know, it's three point three times more than what Ford is. You know, and it's been holding that for a while now. You know, so that's like $30, whatever it is. Ford's 11 or 10, whatever it is. So, you know, anyway, he does, and he's building spaceships, right? Richard Branson, he's building spaceships, right? They're the ones that go to there. They, of course, they have Cayman this and yacht that and whatever else they got. You know, I mean, did you see the yacht Steve Jobs built? Man, that's a beautiful-looking craft.
Naturally he had, yeah.
Oh, of course he did. I mean, he's got so much money. What else are you going to do with it? He didn't get to see it. So his money, that kind of tripped me out a little bit. I was like, well, he built this $100 million thing, and he can't even see it. He saw a drawing of it. And then what was he going to do with it? I don't know. I don't even know why. He should have bought himself another body or something. Get the brain. If you're going to have that kind of money, that's what you do. And Willard, that's what he does. He gets firmware upgrades, some more RAM, and another, you know, colonist vessel. Who knows?
Oh, Jesus, I just saw the yacht.
It's gorgeous, isn't it? Wait till you see Romney's spaceships. Golden books.
Yeah, it's been christened the Venus.
It's pretty.
It's beautiful.
Pretty cool.
I mean, I'm a purist. I favor sales, but as power, God damn, this thing's big. It's somewhere between a 230 and a 260 footer.
Yeah,
that's a big boat.
No, that's a ship. It's not a boat anymore. It's a ship.
It's got some sort of stainless steel eye prow on it or something. God almighty.
That's a piece of art in a way. I mean, it's rich, ostentatious art, but, you know, but that's what I mean. You know, this is the kind of money this guy makes. You know, that's what he does. I mean, he likes to claim, you know, I paid for Romney Care. That's the federal government paying that. Hello? I mean, the guy doesn't do anything. He wrote, right? Raised fees. He did this, right? That's why Massachusetts ain't going with him. You know? I mean, he's got Utah, because they'll vote for him, you know? But they're Mormons. And they're a little bit crazy, you know? You know, if I say that, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but they're crazy.
Speaking of crazy, you want to talk fun? That article Dr. John sent me about, you know, what if he became president and what it would mean to have a Mormon White House. His nearest Mormon church would be one that is in D.C., very liberal, and doesn't even hate on gay folks. Don't you reckon he'd turn 16 shades of purple going to that? So, just, yeah. But there's... there is a string of stories coming out. Talking about. I mean, what's it going to be? I mean, again, you're kind of in my spot. Have you already voted, Albert?
Not yet. Tomorrow.
Yeah. You're another purist. I understand.
Yeah.
So.
I would, but.
But you're not going to have any hassle either. I mean, you know, small town Wisconsin. You're going to go. There's not going to be anything. You know, no.
They'll regret it. I mean, it's kind of. I almost want them to.
Yeah, see, I'm that way too. I got to work on that. That's.
I know. Yeah. Oh, please. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're not going to do it. But
ask me for my photo ID.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think I'll take a walking stick
my
with
day.
It. You are.
Yeah. How dare you? Who are you? I'm not even. I mean, you know. I get so amped up though. I mean, after all the years of Bush, yeah, that's the thing. It is scary because you know Romney would take us right back there.
Oh, no, with a vengeance. Right back there and keep on running till he got back to the, I don't know, what, a constitutional amendment to make reformed Egyptian the official language? What?
He's going to try to drive us into Blade Runner. You know, that's what he's going to do. And we are all replicants. Because the earth is so contaminated, we can't live on it. And, you know, so, of course, the GMO food is going to get in. That's how they're going to get the nanobots in to rebuild you into a replicant. Oh, my God. Yeah, I know. That's what's going to happen. You know,
the Tyrell Corporation.
Exactly. You know, and, you know, they've been putting it, you know, that's the route that we would have to go down. And I don't want that crap. Who the hell wants that? You know,
hey, you want a little goat with your potato chip?
Potato chips made a ship. It'll all be nano chips. And I like nano. I love nanotechnology. But, you know, where people in the hands of them, it's a terrible thing. You know, I mean, how many times have you been worried that the atomic weapons were going to be used? I remember a few times we were kind of a little nervous about Georgie Porgy pushing the wrong buttons, getting involved with the wrong situations.
Well, I go back a little further. I remember the weekly radio address where Ronald Reagan said, well, we have declared the Soviet Union illegal. The missiles fly in 5 minutes. Oh, my Ronald Reagan's turning into George Bush. But no, he really said, and you know, if you were sitting in a newsroom saying you went, what?
Yeah.
And you tell your colleagues out in the bigger newsroom, and they go, well, this is going to be an interesting work day. Because, you know, Saturdays were usually pretty slow and dull.
Yeah. And this is the other thing. You know, you got those poll watchers. Now, this is the thing. The poll watchers, you know, you were talking about the Black Panthers earlier. What was it? It was two dudes, and they got in trouble for it, if I recall correctly. And they didn't harass anybody. They were just making sure. They were just standing there. So by their presence, these black men with berets on and black leather jackets and cudgels.
Yeah, but I love the woman at the back on her cell phone not giving a shit in the picture of the new Black Panthers.
Yeah. It's get out of here. They got in trouble, right? And so maybe they won't dress up. So they don't have to put on. Why put on a uniform? Republicans don't put on uniforms when they go in and. You know, think about what they're wearing when they go into message forums and trying to, you know, Benghazi. Are they in a hyperdimension?
I think they done folded space, Albert.
Hyper. I mean, where's the spice? Because that's where my spice went, the bastards. You know, what was it? Heck of a job, Brownie. That Obama reacted too fast. What? That's what he said. He said that he acted too fast.
Yeah, right, because he should have taken some time, eaten some birthday cake, and played a guitar upside down for a little while.
Yeah, an inflatable guitar. With a party hat on sideways. Too fast. But, no, he did what you're supposed to do. And he worked with... I wasn't willing to take Chris... we all know what he is, but you know what? At least he's got... A little spark of a conscience in there. When the shit hits the fan, he says, hey, Oh my! We need government. What are you, crazy?
Right. I did see one interesting graphic on Facebook the other day. It just showed the back of a fireman walking away and said, "Yesterday they were union thugs. Today they're saving your ass."
Yeah. Oh, and I'm so sick and tired of this villainization of unions. I am so. Are you fed up with that? Chuck Codd can. We could put those both in a bag and just kick them down the stairs. I'm tired of both of those guys. He is the most ridiculous, mealy-mouthed pundit I've ever seen in my life. He's
the second coming of Tim Russert.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know. I mean, yeah.
Because, you know, MC Gregory is off to himself. He's his own category.
Yeah, they're going to lose. They know they're going to lose. They ain't going to win. It's just not happening. And
some of them aren't that upset about it because, you know, in four more years we might get out of some of these financial troubles, and then they can come in and loot us again.
No, I
remember it took 8 years of Clinton to clean up Reagan and Bush I's messes, and then the Treasury was ripe for the looting.
That's where our memory has to come in. We need to remember, and I think we will. I think we'll continue to gain. I mean, well, it's like, you know, look at New Jersey, look at the tri-state area, right? Climate change is a big thing. We need infrastructure everywhere. You mentioned, you know, Minneapolis. Of course, they're going to need. We need it everywhere. We need energy infrastructure. You know, it's like
we need grid 2.0.
We need grid 2.0, 2.3. I mean, we need some massive upgrades here, and that's going to create jobs. You know, I mean, it's going to give us an energy abundance. And we're going to be able to do things like hold water in from the ocean and desalinate it. Because then not even the old ways of filtering it. We can just plasma arc it because we're going to have so much energy available with geothermal, solar, and wind. And it's not going to happen immediately, but it's going to happen fast. It's going to happen a lot faster than, you know, than even electric cars took. You know, it's going to happen. It's going to be clock. Boom, and it's going to be on. Banks are already setting up financial tables for this next level of technology. I mean, heck, I don't have one. You may not have one. I mean, plasma TVs, LCD TVs, those things, man, those things are gone. We're getting liquid crystal on silicone, organic light-emitting diodes that are a quarter of an inch thick. You know, they're a nickel thickness. They're 55 inches. They're so ridiculous. They're almost like a holodeck. Just a, you know, one dimensional, too early, put the glasses on, it's three. It's not quite the holodeck, but this is what I mean, that this technology is going to get here. It's so cheap to manufacture, it's so cheap to do carbon friggin' solar panels. They've already got that going. Stanford, I mean, it's wireless highways, all this stuff is right there for the taking, and we need it now. You know, this is when we need it. I mean, how can you argue that we don't need it? I mean, there's no ways about it. You know, when President Obama became president, we only had 2% of our grid was renewable. Now he doubled that to 4. That's pretty good. That's better than 2. And now let's get 8. And then let's get 16. And by the time we get rolling on this and we're starting to really, you know, that'll bring our economy back. And if we have enough, you know, excess, you know, this is my technological liberal fantasy here, but, you know, if we have enough excess electron and 3D printers and, you know, all this other stuff, the Internet is basically still just a baby of what it is going to be. You know, who's going to need a job? For what? You got your energy, you got your little window garden, aeroponics, all this, that. You know, it's like, you know, people say, well, who's going to work? Who's going to do this? Farmers. Why would a farmer? Farmers don't get into farming for money, at least the ones around here. They get into it because there's something about it that's good for you. You know, putting your hands in the soil, making something grow, feeding somebody. You know, people don't, you know, some people become nurses and doctors because they want money. But they're usually what? They're shitty nurses and doctors. You know, but there are people that go and do that because that's in their inherent nature. And I think we're going to be able to see that. I think we're going to be able to see education expand. You got things like that Khan Academy, which is just an amazing resource. They didn't have anything like that when I was a kid. You know, they had nothing, even close. We didn't even have internet. I mean, the impact that this world has to for a positive benefit just on my children and their children, it's unimaginable. We are like, you know, horse and buggies trying to imagine a Ferrari. This is, you know, where we are in terms of our mind, what's going to be.
Yeah, which goes back to the issue of the Electoral College. You know,
yes, well, everybody's got a vote.
They had to make sure that the votes could get from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
And that if something disastrous happened, there was a way to manage it. Plus, you know, it's always better to have the moneyed, wealthy white people doing the decision making.
Well,
but they couldn't imagine a world where that was not the case. Well, this is that world.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think we're gonna, you know, we're probably gonna have to pay. You know, I think we should. You pay people to do jury duty. It's your civic duty. How the hell isn't voting your civic duty? And pay people to do vote. $25. $25, boom, you know, and if not, you know, $35 fine, you know, or a $50 fine for not doing, you know, and it's a tax credit. Just put it on a tax credit. You know, here, oh, here's your voter ID number. Please put this on your taxes. Doom, you do that, boom, 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 you get your check back. You got your $25, $30, whatever it is. Especially in California with the way where they got a 20-page ballot and a 70-page amendum and an explanation index and everything else. I mean, I want everybody voting in California, and I want them to be informed, you know, and give them some money. You know, it's going to take a minute to sit there and read through all that. And, you know, that's the other thing. I don't understand. How the hell we have four hours and hours in a line to vote? Voting how long? I mean, some places I guess it takes a while, but it takes me zip, zip, zip. I mean, that's because I do live in the sticks, but it's inexcusable. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. Just like Katrina was a disgrace. It's these Republicans. Everything they touch, everything. They're just cannibals. They destroy everything. Ugh. And this is what I mean. You know, it's 2016. Oh hell no. You know, no. We're not going to be done by 2016. But in 2016, think of it like this. We'll have, what is that, 14 years. In 2016, 14 years till Saudi Arabia stops exporting oil. We don't have time for these games. We don't. Think about that. 2013, Saudi Arabia, the largest reserve of oil on the planet, will stop being an exporter of oil.
No, not 2013. 20.
No, 2030.
2030, yeah.
2030. Yeah. Sorry if I said, yeah. 2016, we got 14 years. We don't have time. We need to be on that road. We need to already be gaining speed. Like a Tesla S does 20 or 100 miles an hour in 2.5 seconds. You can get off that off-ramp and onto the expressway. I don't care who was just riding up your butt. He ain't going to see you anymore. Zip gone. And that's how we have to be going. Just with the same thing. We need this transitioning process. What else is going to... We're not going to be... What are we going to do? What are we going to start making Laverne and Shirley days again? We can't. That's a dead end. That's over. We got machines to do that kind of stuff now, and it does it better than we could do it. You know, this is what I mean. What else do we have? Well, we still need hands to put windmills together, and we still need hands to put solar panels on roofs, and you know, we still need hands to build roads, and you know, drill geothermal energy.
And to establish sense of purpose.
And that true too, and that is definitely true. You know, there's a documentary. It's on my little list, you know, and it's just a look back. I've probably already seen it regarding the civilian, right, the CCC. You know, it's an old, that's a nostalgic thing I kind of wish we had again. You know, we need some guys to get into the forests and clean them up a little bit. You know, get some of that brush out of there. Do you know what I mean? Well, that was another thing. Why didn't Bush ever have that idea when he was hemorrhaging 750,000 jobs?
Well, look, I mean, I can't speak for what happened in more urbanized population centers, and I really mean that, you know, urbanized, not as some sort of code word for not white. But here, you know, we twice in 4 months, we've been knocked out of power for significant amounts of time because mainly, Albert, our power lines are strung on toothpicks.
Yep.
And the power company will not keep the right-of-ways clear of the possibility of falling trees. Now,
that's snow.
Imagine the people that we could put to work.
Yeah.
Just keeping the right-of-ways clear.
I mean,
It would be indirect corporate welfare for Appalachian Power. But it would keep the damn lights on.
Yeah, well, that's...
And again, I go back to whatever that number was. You know, we measure power outages in the United States by days and weeks. Germany measures it in minutes per year.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, now, granted, they don't have hurricanes and they don't have tornadoes. But they have weather.
Yes.
They have snow, they have cold, they have wind. Because it's turning all those wind turbines. Now, see, I'm funny this way. I've said it before. I'm probably like a little broken record on this, Albert, but I'm going to say it again. I keep looking for a story because I know they're out there. I keep looking for a story on the devastation of the offshore wind farms by Hurricane Sandy. I keep looking for the photographs of those poor giant industrial wind turbines with, you know, their fan blades kind of going, you know, hanging because they just couldn't tolerate the 100-mile-an-hour winds.
Mm-hmm. You won't. It's not there.
Because it didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Because all those wind turbines did was go a little faster and made a little more electricity. Which, if we had grid 2.0 or 2.3...
Could have been pumping out the subways.
Could have been pumping out the subways.
Yep. I mean, you know, pumping out the battery tunnel, you know. I mean, there's so many things that we could be doing, that we should be doing, and I think it just requires people to really believe that we can. It requires a will, like we were talking about. You know, it requires we have a lot of things...
If we had a distributed grid... every building in New York City was covered with solar panels.
Yep.
That didn't blow away.
No, they won't. Oh, they're tough. Those things are tough.
80-year-olds would not be sitting however many stories up in an apartment building.
Yeah.
With no heat and no lights.
Yep. Yep.
All you'd have to do would be to tell New York, get off the streets, it's going to flood.
Yep.
And this is not gooning on New York or New Jersey. This is gooning on us for the lack of foresight and the lack of will and the lack of imagination and the lack of dreaming capacity that we as a nation have. And it comes from a generation of being told, no, you can't do that by right-wingers and Republicans, Albert.
That's right. And their day...
I mean, because let's remember something. When John Kennedy said, we will be on the moon in 10 years, it's not like there weren't any Republicans in America. There were. And they said...
They went to the moon.
And they said, no, we can't. No, we won't. It can't possibly be done. It costs too much. You know, they said the kind of crap that Republicans always say.
Yep.
But we as a nation said, who the hell are they? What are they talking about? This is America. We can do this. And we did.
Yep. Well, you know, I mean, you know.
You know, the Republicans, just because I happened to immerse myself in a little bit of this history last week, the Marshall Plan. We just take the Marshall Plan for granted. That, you know, it was the right thing to do, and America was in a do-the-right-thing kind of moment, so we did the right thing, and we saved Europe. After the Second World War. It didn't quite play out that way. The heads of state and the military minds and the geniuses all got together and they said, Europe needs $21 million, or maybe billion, I don't remember, to rebuild. Billion. Let's say billion.
Yeah, I think it was a billion.
Yeah. Europe needs $21 billion to rebuild. Harry Truman said, okay. And the Republicans said, $21 billion? Well, you don't have that kind of money. You know? And they had the same little crappy conniption that Republicans always have. And so, with Republicans objecting, that got pared down to like 7. And eventually wound up being at $13 billion. So, in other words, we shorted on what was actually needed, but we still managed to rebuild Europe with Europe's grim determination to rise out of the ashes of the horrors of the Second World War, and a concurrent determination not to let it happen again.
Yep.
That's why, in many ways, when I was in Germany, it reminded me sort of an America that America likes to think it is but isn't. And I mean that as a compliment. I mean, when you see moms and dads on little tiny towns on purpose-built bike sidewalks, and what are they doing on their Sundays? They're not wandering out of church. Maybe they did. Who knows? It's one of the first pretty days of a new spring, and the family is out on their bicycles, driving the cycling lanes through the countryside together. I mean, by God, that looks like some family effing values, doesn't it, Albert?
A little bit.
And that largely arises from stuff that we put in place. But America said, we can help with this rebuilding process. And even when we shortchanged the process, we as a country still said, yeah, we can do that. Because it will inure to everybody's benefit. And we did. And the Republicans at the whole long are saying, oh, this can possibly just throw money at it. They haven't changed. The only thing that's changed is the fact that we're here now and we weren't there then, and so we don't understand how mean and rotten and hateful and filthy and pernicious Republicans have always been.
Amen.
They've always been the party of no. They've always been the party of but we can't. They've always been the party of we're too poor, and they've always been the party of what about me?
But now they're the party of change.
Well, there you go.
You're exactly right. We're going to have to redo the same thing we did to Afghanistan. We're going to have to do the same thing, Marshall Plan to Afghanistan, Marshall Plan to Iraq, Marshall Plan to Egypt, Marshall Plan to Turkey. I mean, yeah, they're all right, but, why not? Help them, they've been somewhat sane. Let them become, let's help them. Let's build them. They get earthquakes. They get problems. They need infrastructure, right? We don't need economic instabilities and geographical instabilities, and we need to be doing things to generate goodwill. That's why that's why it's so funny that they try to say that they're not that they're Christian, but what Jesus would have fed and helped, and everybody would have subways and everyone would have internet. That's what did wouldn't Jesus do that? Wouldn't he do that? I don't know. I would think he would. Why not? Well, show me where he wouldn't.
Right. Exactly. Well, you'd have to go over to read Conservative Testament. That's where that is. Hey, I got to share something that just came in from Michael in Columbus. He said, not to be a cheerleader or anything, but I just got back from dinner after the rally in Columbus. Mayor Mike Coleman, Senator Sherrod Brown, Bruce Springsteen, Jay-Z, and President Barack Hussein Obama. This 08 versus 12 Obama enthusiasm gap is bullshit. Longest line I've ever seen for any event of any kind anywhere in my life. Dad said the same, and he's got a lot more mileage than me. We had volunteer tickets, so fortunately we got to walk right in, but the line for everyone else wrapped around the block after block after block after block. Nationwide Arena was packed full. As Mayor Mike said, the number of electoral votes needed to win is 270. The highway that wraps around Columbus is 270. He called it the 270 solution. Michael says, I know Barry ain't perfect. I got my issues with him just like you do. But I'll be damned if Ohio ain't going to get it done tomorrow. The Zomdy Romney apocalypse will be canceled. We got this. Signed, Michael, on the ground in Ohio.
Awesome, Michael. Awesome. Yeah, I agree. That's awesome. 270, and we're going to get a little more than that. He's not winning. Look at the polls where they're even trying to be fair. He's spanking him by 5 points, by 4 points, by 6 points.
Oh, but it's a horse race.
Yeah, it's not a horse race. Let him come out. This is the last time that white people will have the full majority, right?
Pretty close, yeah.
Yeah, this is it. So, okay, it's not going to be your way anymore. This is why, the tide is changing away from this. And, I don't see people down here in the streets of America, that I've ever spoken to that, give me a whole lot of hassle on some things I say regarding technology and this and the infrastructure. You know, people understand these things, and I'm glad that to see that there is no enthusiasm gap. I don't think that, you know, all those people I see online are going to vote for Romney. They don't look like Romney voters. So then again, in Romney districts, they don't have those, they have enough voting machines, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And that makes me wonder if maybe the only voting machines that needed patches, like Sandra was talking about, I wonder if those were the ones that company owned by Tag Romney. You guys got to ask.
Yeah, but you know what? And I know that that's a possibility. I'm not ignorant to it. I'm just not hearing it. Well, we'll see what happens, you know, tomorrow.
Yep.
But I'm not hearing that. You know, I don't have to hear that right now. So I'm not going to bring it into the universe. I'm going to expel it out of the universe. I'm going to like to think that. You know, I'm going to be optimistic about this because we have to be. Because what is more important than the future? What? When someone comes up and can give me an answer about what's more important than the future, I'll stop asking that question.
Yeah. Oh, I got to share this with you, too, Albert. John Fox just told me. He said, and Obama got Springsteen, you know, because Chris Christie's a Jersey guy, right? I mean, you know, you're Jersey. So Obama got Springsteen on the phone to Chris Christie in Air Force One. And said, the only thing better than a Jersey boy in a time of distress is two Jersey boys. You know, because he may be Chris Christie, but he's still a fanboy.
Yeah.
John noting, the raw money campaign must be having fits.
Well, did you hear us? Christie snubbed the raw money campaign.
Oh, yeah, but he tried to make it up today by saying, well, I'm still voting for Romney.
No. This was yesterday, apparently, where Romney was having that little meeting in someplace in Pennsylvania, which is 20 minutes outside Trenton. And they invited Christie, and Christie declined. And I think what that, to me, what this says to me, in my mind, in my political acumen here, it's that, you know, he probably does want to run in 2016, and he doesn't want to be seen on stage with a loser like McCain was seen, you know, hugging Bush. Or hugging, you know, whatever, and, you know, where's the...
Yeah, and but it's not just 16, it's next year, if I understand correctly, he has to run for re-election.
He's got
as
that,
governor.
Too, but, you know, 20... Yeah, oh, yeah, but governor, you know, and he's going to be governor now, and he's going to hope that he's going to fix... That's why he's being so nice to, you know, Obama, you know, because as Rush Limbaugh said, who give me some money, or something like that. what a scumbag that guy is, Jesus. It's just the mask is off, and they can't. They're never going to be able to get it back on over those tusks. There's no way.
I'll just you know what? I hope we have an occasion, maybe sometime after midnight tomorrow night, to play that clip from Bill Hicks, resident prophet, peace be upon him,
mm-hmm.
The Republican elephant.
That will be. Yeah, I think that'll be it. I think they'll fragment. You know, they'll probably, you know, they'll get a lot of spillover into the libertarians, but there'll be a fragmented group. And, you know, heck, you can't even have a majority in this government and get anything done. So, you know, I mean, you know, good luck with that there, Republicans. They'll just be a fractured minority, and that'll be a wonderful thing for this country. They could break into the, you know, we could, and then we can even purge some of these, you know, dinos. And we can get rid of them, and they can go to the new Republican Party, where it's like the David Brooks Party. They can have their David Brooks Party, and then it could be the
plaid, you know, their plaid pants, and yeah,
yeah, the Trump Palin Bachman Party, and they can have their own little group. And
God, I do love what Charles Pierce calls her.
what does he say?
Princess Dumbass of the North Woods. Who lives on Snowgrift Mountain?
She is just. I think her and the King guy. I think they share an aquifer or something. they got a border. I don't know if she's a North Woods girl. I think she's more of a passion.
No, she's an Idaho chick.
No, Bachman. Oh, Palin.
Oh, Palin. Palin. I'm sorry, Palin. Yeah, Palin is Princess Dumbass of the North Woods.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Yeah, Bachman's just crazy, though. That girl's... Did you hear that? I've never heard anyone laugh at a politician like that.
Yeah, because I don't give these kind of speeches, and the whole audience... I don't give political speeches. And the whole audience just erupted in laughter.
We haven't heard that since Bush tried to explain what sovereign means and how it applies to the Native Americans.
Oh, Jesus. Hey, Albert, I'm going to run, brother. I got to catch a couple more calls here. It's awful good to hear from you.
Have a good election day, brother.
And stay warm and report back. Yeah.
Always. We'll be good. We got this.
All right. Sounds good. Later.
Bye, brother Bob.
Bye now.
Bye.
Brother Albert, the sage of Southwest Wisconsin. Michael following up with a P.S. Willard also had a rally in Columbus at the Columbus Airport with the Marshall Tucker Band or something like that. Laughing my ass off. Please. You mean Meatloaf wasn't there, Michael? That unintelligible grunt from Meatloaf was more than I could stand. Somebody get him his shots. Back to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Well, hey, Tracy.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going well. We're hanging on.
Well, I'm glad to, because I was, when I turned on Stitcher Radio this afternoon, I'm like, he's back. There's power in.
Oh, as of Friday, you know, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I'm so happy because, you know, out here in California, we're having another heat wave. And they said there's no such thing as climate change. Okay. It's still like 85 degrees right now. And I'm not saying that to be mean. Don't go quiet on me, Bob.
No, I'm right here.
Don't go quiet on me. It's too hot. I mean, I know how.
Well, why? No, wait, because I'm Southern California ignorant, or as we say around here, ignorant.
Ignorant.
What should it be?
In the 60s, 70s.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Seriously, we had 1 week where it was fall-like weather, and I was all excited. I broke out the flannel sheets and my pajamas and all that, and now I'm back into, like, you know, sweating at night. And it could also be, you know, premenopausal also, but still. It's 85 degrees, and it's a quarter to six.
Yeah, okay, that's a bit much.
Yeah, it's you know, and don't get me wrong, I should not complain, but then again, when I was a kid, I was in sweaters and stuff like that back in the days before, you know, when the dinosaurs roamed the earth and gas was 60 cents a gallon.
Yeah, gone are those days.
Gone are those days. It's bad. But I was listening to Sandra earlier talking about the propositions out here. And yeah, I had a spirited discussion today with one of my friends who are drivers, and he's voting for Obama and everything. He's like, because he thinks Mitt Romney's the devil. He comes from a Middle Eastern country, so he would know from the devil as far as people who...
Having invented him, yeah, probably.
Yeah, so he's like, yeah, no, I'm voting. And so we were talking about the proposition, and we got into this big, huge discussion about 32 because because you are Bob Kincaid, do realize that Proposition 32 is a big lie and is funded by the Karl Rove and the Koch brothers.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's right-wing union suppressionism.
Exactly. And so when I said, because he's like, and we pretty much agreed on all the proposition, and then he said he's voting yes on 32. And I'm like, huh? He's like, well, you know, I'm anti-union. I'm like, why? You know, and there was a whole bunch of rhetoric. But so you know me, I don't not be quiet when it comes to stuff like that.
Right.
And I said, you know, let me talk to you about unions. And the best part was there was another driver who is Armenian. And I don't know if he's Persian Armenian or, you know, Turkish or, you know, there's so many different kind of Armenians, but he's Armenian. And he was appalled. What do you mean you don't care about unions? You know, because we got into this whole discussion about if it wasn't for unions. people of color and, you know, people who were, quote unquote, born as the working class people would not have ever been able to earn a respectable living wage. Because I tell them, you know, if it wasn't for a union job, my grandfather wouldn't have been able to buy his house as a black man in this country. No. Because he had no desires to go to college. You know, not, he might have, but, you know, back then, you know, you just got a job. You know, you did not tell your kids or my, you know, and my grandfather, you know, this man went through the Depression. You know, college was not something that you talked about. That was just far off dreams for white people. That wasn't in the mix for black folk. But then again, you had a chance to have a union job, and then you could, you know, put your kids through college because you had the money and the time off to go on vacations and all this sort of stuff by your home and whatnot and so forth. And so people are so brainwashed because ever since I became a driver, they've always been talking about a driver's union. You know, because none of the drivers are out. I guess at one point, years ago, the unions, the cab drivers in LA were union. Teamsters. So, you know, and I don't know what happened for that to have ended, but I just think about all these drivers I'm looking at who have been driving 20, 30, 40, 30 years and don't have shit to show for it. You know, they're in poor health because they don't have insurance. And if something happens to them on the job, they have no recourse, you know, because we're independent contractors. And we're really employees when you think about it, because see, if we were truly independent contractors, I could decide how much to charge for, you know, if I pick you up at the airport, I could decide how much to charge you. I could decide if I was a truly independent contractor, if I was going to wear a uniform or not, right?
Yeah, you could set your own hours, and you could.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not an independent. I mean, the one thing is, I can't set my own hours, but you know, I could, if I was truly independent contractor, I could decide whether or not I was going to take credit card and stuff like that. But I cannot because.
No. Meanwhile, while I was out in Madison, Wisconsin, we always jumped in one particular cab out there because those drivers actually owned the company.
Mhm. Mhm.
That was kind of inspiring.
Mhm.
And they all drove, and they all drove Priuses.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, out here, there will be, I don't know when this, my company, there will be no more sedans, no more Crown Vics. They're all phasing the Crown Vics out and going into Priuses, which is all well and good. But the problem with Priuses is that there's no trunk room. You know, and you know, there is a company,
which matters in places at like the airport run,
right? Exactly. And you know, so we have either you're in a Prius or you're in a van like me, but the vans right now, they are not hybrid, because from what I understand, they really don't have vans that are affordable right now that could be, you know, or cost effective as far as.
Yeah, well, here's the trick, though. Beginning with this model year, Toyota introduced the Prius wagon.
Oh, my.
And you got luggage space for days in that thing.
How many people does this seat?
Five.
Okay. So
driver, passenger seat, three in the back, big old cargo space.
Nice. Hold up. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you. So, listening to, you know, and I just listened to, you know, your other callers talking about how with the voter suppression and how these people are spending millions on millions of dollars, and it doesn't look like Prop 37 is going to pass out here, which is a shame. Because, like you said, I kind of want to know if my potato chips have goat blood in them or something.
Right.
You know,
monkey brains in the corn or whatever.
Whatever. I mean, if it's not coming from the ground, and, you know, monkey brains do not grow in the ground, I kind of want to know. Because who was it that was called before, Robert, about him and his daughters and all that going to vote? And my son.
Oh, Philip, yeah.
Philip. And my son, he's so funny because he's moved from my house, but he hasn't really changed. They're still sending his voter registration stuff here. And he's like, okay, Mom, I know you've done all the research. I mean, I don't have to tell him who to vote for president. He's like, he listens to NPR and all the liberal stations out here. So I don't have to tell him, but he wasn't too sure on the proposition. So I was, you know, because see, this is, even though, you know, I am pretty, you know, I've been reading and stuff, and I'm like, well, this, he's going to come over and we're going to, or I'm going to talk to him about the pros and cons of each of the propositions, because our voter pamphlet, it's War and Peace.
So Albert wasn't kidding. It is a job to go to the polls.
It is in California. I mean, and that's just in my area, because, you know, as I drive around the city, there's so many different measures in different cities within California, because I guess I'm learning the propositions are statewide, and then the measures are citywide. And then there's another one, and then there's another one, and because there's a measure B that's, you know, trying to keep making the adult film, because, you know, we have the largest adult film industry in the country here in the valley, yay! And so they're trying to make it so that performers have to wear condoms, and they're going to be policed. And so one of the commercials, it's so funny, against that proposition, we're saying, well, there's going to be wasted dollars to police the adult film industry. Now, I'm thinking, most of the people, you know, there are...
Well, that's another case of big government keeping us down.
Right, but then here's my thought. Now, if in fact they're going to have cops on the set to make sure that these people are following the rules for wearing condoms, I don't think they're going to have problems getting cops to work that shift.
I'm guessing it won't be cops. I'm guessing it'll be public health employees. You know, lab coats. You know, no, I mean, there are real things, logistics and sort of things to think about. You know, what about the fluffers?
Right. Do the fluffers wear gloves?
Right. See, I mean.
See, this is why do we. The fact that we even went there, that's...
I know. And I hate to say it, but I got to get out of here.
I know you do. But it's, you know, it's great to close the show. And so what is this vicious rumor that I'm hearing, that you guys might have a show tomorrow from 9 o'clock my time?
Yeah.
Is it going to be on the air, or is it going to be in the chat room, or is it going to be...
No. I mean, it'll be just like this.
Oh, that's going to be so awesome, because tomorrow's my airport day, and I will.
Yeah, I will struggle to remain sober after 9 o'clock, and long about midnight, we'll hot it up again, unless something goes completely sideways.
Yeah, because the polls will be closed here, so it'll be interesting. Well, then I'm looking forward to tomorrow, because I know he's going to win. I'm not worried about it. I'm just still concerned about Congress. But, you know, like the other caller said, no, we're going to be fine. And I'm going to take that note. We're going to be fine. So anyway, keep on pushing, my dear. God bless you, and keep
going. And thank you so much for the help, Tracy.
Anytime, anywhere.
You're awesome.
I try my best. All right.
Take care now.
I'll catch you later.
Bye now. Tracy, lady cab driver in the chat room and in the occasional Horn Malloy Skype chat. It is. It's about 2.5 minutes before time to roll out the show. I had a kind note reminding me from Randy in PA. 4 minutes left in the program, Bob. Thanks for your help, too, Randy. It's much appreciated. The help keeping all of this going from all of you is profound, and it is the only thing that keeps all of this going. And the only thing I, on behalf of all of us, can say is thank you so very much. Thanks, of course, go out to the all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky in the chat room, our blogger Texas Betsy, our news ninjas Gene and Susan, my lovely wife Agnes, to John Fox in Australia, thanks, and to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, ongoing and unending thanks. And, of course, thanks go out always to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACHECACT.org. Go to ACHECACT.org and learn how you can help end Appalachia's agony by helping us pass the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.